If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, let's pray. God of Rock, thank you for this chance to kick ass. We are your humble servants. Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
How about the basketball game?
All right, here we go. Check it out. All right, good times.
You will never be a greatest jockey. You have lousy voice, lousy personality, and this will not change. Okay? So on the air, it's not for you.
Well, I probably need to say that. Do you do any work on Honeymoon?
I have never been more ready in my entire life to do this right now.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
Roll another one.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
God damn it, I love it.
I need another hit.
Time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You're a really weird man.
Roll another one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Just like the other one.
Marijuana is delicious.
Brothers, I was smoking doobies with my brothers.
Just pass it around.
Smoke weed.
Would you be interested in taking part in a study like this again and having the same type of drug?
Sure.
You would. It's been a very pleasant experience for you.
I'll do it anytime you want.
Do you think it would be...
Anytime at all.
Our feature presentation.
That's Beer Mug. We just taped that last Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, he's here warming up, by the way, Beer Mug.
Oh, I know. He's very confident. I heard Mike giving him a little bit of a pep talk this morning about his attempt at an eating record this morning. What did you tell him, Mike? You believe in him, right?
Yeah, I was saying, look, Mug, I'm not going to lie to you. The last two or three times you've tried to break a record, I didn't believe in you at all. Yeah. I had no faith in you.
This time, rightfully so, by the way.
This time with the powdered donuts, I feel like he could do it.
Yeah, I don't.
I think he's done that little research.
Harder than it looks. Yeah, but he did research on the last one, too. He was practicing bananas over the weekend, by the way. Not that you weren't, Lisa. But he's done the research. You're right. I think he believes he has a shot at it, and I think that may help. That attitude may help him as a competitor. You gotta get your mind right, too. It's not all physical.
Yeah, it's probably more mental.
But you can't lick your lips. That's got to be...
I know, isn't that weird?
I mean, that's something you would do accidentally very easily.
And why is that?
Disqualified.
I don't understand that rule.
I don't know. It seems to make it, more difficult, but they don't usually have rules like that for any of the eating contests.
It's very odd.
I mean, all that should matter is that you eat the food.
I mean, clearly the dryness of the donut is the problem.
Right. But again, normally, whatever the problem is, they don't make it harder with the rules. Right. They don't add that extra layer,
Yeah.
Oh, and you have to be hanging from monkey bars while you eat it, too.
Yeah, well, that's apparently true. There is that.
And they light a candle in your ass.
I hadn't read that one. Wow.
I don't know why.
We can't figure out what that has to do with the powdered donut, but.
Let's just tell Mug that's one of the rules, so he has to do it.
No, because then we'll have to do it. And no. Okay. Well, Psycho Mike will do it. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It's the 18th of Aprilingus.
How about those ducks?
How about those ducks?
What's going on, dude?
They're getting beat.
This Turco, this goalie for Dallas, is just the man.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's hot at the right time.
3-1. They come back, I guess, tonight.
Yeah, and what's that about, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know why in the NHL of all leagues, I don't know why they ever play two games in a row, two nights right. in a row.
But
especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Especially when there's a travel day. It's not like these are two in a row at the Honda Center. You got to travel from Texas, which I'm sure they did very late last night, which is not going to make anybody feel good today.
And then play right away tonight. I don't know.
That is really strange.
It must have something to do with the TV schedule, maybe, and you know, maybe too many games tomorrow night, because you'd think they'd go Thursday, Saturday. That's kind of how they've been doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. They're behind 3-1, though, so that's not good.
It could be TV because there are so many championships going on right now, you know, all the different divisions. I know Ralph, if he watched his Flyers last night,
it was a double
overtime win. He's got to be hurting this morning.
Double overtime.
Oh, that's rough.
That's in the NHL, you know, they put in these new shootout rules where at the end of the game, if it's tied after a 5-minute overtime period, you have a shootout, but not in the playoffs. So they could play until they die.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Speaking of playing until they die, Kevin, how would you have liked to have been at Petco Park last night for the Padres-Rockies game? You hear about it?
I would, just based on the fact that I don't like baseball.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, I'm fine with missing it.
Okay, but what if you didn't like baseball and you agreed to go to that game and stay to the end and it was 22 innings? What if that had happened?
Oh, I would have killed myself.
6 hours and 16 minutes.
Oh, my God.
22 innings, and here's the best part. It was a 2-1 win.
Wow.
A lot of action.
Not like it was 19-18. It was 2-1. 22 innings.
They go through all their reliever pitchers, all their closers, everyone.
They had guys coming in from the stands. Yeah, they were just pointing to guys that looked like they could throw and had them come in. But you don't see that very often. I guess that's the longest Major League game since 1993. It's been a while since I've seen one like
you
that.
Guys. Mike is wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, I noticed that. What's up with that?
What
kind of those blue blocker looking sunglasses?
Kind of those blue blockers, or are they official blue blockers?
Yeah.
Dubbies, baby.
And that's why you're wearing them?
You got that right, sister.
Because we had Creepy Wonder on the air this week?
No, you miss him? Creepy Wonder was wearing sunglasses.
Right.
These are blue blockers.
Right, but we're inside.
These are designed for wearing both indoors and outdoors.
But
these
why,
are the only
though?
Infrared glasses out there.
But why are you wearing them?
Yeah,
because I'm red.
The glare off Kevin's hair hurting
What's the deal here? Does this look cool? You're not hungover. You don't drink anymore.
It's thug life.
Thug life. Just like to party.
Yeah, that's all there is to it.
Psycho Mike is a loser. Right. Like, who put him on the air? Yeah. Nobody thinks he's funny.
True.
He sucks. True. Big fat dodo.
Very true.
Wow. We didn't really put him on the air.
Big fat dodo.
I think we get it.
He forced his way on the air.
Well, all right. He's wearing blue blockers.
Are you
going to
wear
those
all day?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's
I don't know. If
very
I wanna,
distracting.
I don't know if I'm going to wear them when Rogan comes in because he might like choke me out or something.
No, now you have to wear them.
He should choke you out.
Remember when those commercials were hot? It was an infomercial a number of years ago, and everybody bought a pair of blue blockers. Oh, everybody in the world had one.
Yeah,
and then they fell off the map.
They were kind of cool, though. I mean, they were never cool.
No, they were never cool. And they fell off the face of the earth. And last night, after the Harold and Kumar red carpet, I'm walking through Hollywood, California, and there's a vendor there.
Wait a minute. You're walking through Hollywood, the one in California?
Well, there's one in Texas and Florida. I want to make sure people realize. And this vendor's got hats and vintage jewelry and blue blockers. And I said, hey, buddy, are those legit blue blockers? And he said, certificate of authenticity, sir. And I said, you got turtle shell? $17. Bum. Now they're on my face.
I used to see them sold out the back of a van on Barn Boulevard every day when I drove
for five
by.
Bucks.
Not legit.
Not legit. Really?
Yeah.
What a shock.
These
back of a
too
van,
legit,
legit
to quit.
But, Mike, if they can counterfeit blue blockers, why can't they counterfeit the certificate of authenticity, too? That doesn't mean anything.
Well, you've got me there.
What's supposed to make them better than any others? Or
I'm going to say
you don't know.
The infomercial. I don't know.
I think the stuff looks different through blue blockers than it does through any other
100%.
Kind of sunglasses.
Supposed to cut down the glare more?
Yeah, well, look, if you wear sunglasses indoors or at night, it's just dark and you can't see.
Right.
It's like just looking through like some type of prism. Honestly, like the board looks super bright. And
is this going to help your concentration?
Maybe, yeah.
I think so.
All right.
Maybe you'll do better.
I feel like I'm in
Doubt
Tron.
It. All right. So sunglasses.
Not sunglasses.
On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we have tickets for tonight's Anaheim Ducks game.
Mm-hmm.
We have Joe Rogan in the studio, like Mike just mentioned.
Very cool.
Talking about the UFC fight this weekend and how he's trying to give away his isolation tank.
That I can't wait to find out about.
Beer Bug's going to try and break the record. We mentioned that. Let's see. We got the movie bead because it's Friday.
Yes. Good movies coming out.
And speaking of good movies, we have Jenna Jameson on the program today.
Oh.
She's in a movie that opens today, and it's called Zombie Stripper.
Yay!
Zombie Stripper, or strippers. And it looks really cheesy, bad, good.
Good.
The zombies are all. It's just mainly in women that turn into zombies in this movie.
Really?
Guys, not so much. So that's why they're strippers and they're zombies, mm-hmm. and then they come after you. You do not want a lap dance from them. Tell you that right now.
Okay.
My only fear with Jenna is that it's it's a mainstream film for her. She's making that transition, which means there may not be nudity in the movie, and that worries me a great deal.
Yeah, I hope they don't put in zombie nudity. Because no one wants to see a zombie.
No
is
wants
that
to see
creepy?
That.
Are you sure?
Well, no. But they're decayed. They're decaying bodies.
Well,
you don't
maybe
really...
it's just from the neck up or something.
We'll have to ask.
And they're still.
I never thought of that. I never thought that maybe a zombie's body would still be banging and their head is dead flesh.
Well, they don't decay instantly when they first
they
become
do.
Zombies.
I don't know how that works.
All right,
no,
we'll
I think
out.
This is right. I think there is a transitional period.
All right.
I think
you can still be hot for a while.
Yeah, for a while. We'll ask Jenna. We'll find out.
All right.
Bill Cosby's got a rap CD coming out. Very excited about that. Scott Weiland to be on the program today talking
Damn.
About the STP shows.
Awesome.
Yeah. 50-50 chance of that, by the way.
And and all weekend long, we're going to put you on the K-Rock party jet to Las Vegas to see Stone Temple Pilots.
Wow.
And it's not a qualifying prize. You actually win both starting today. You win tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl June 24th, and then you also win seats on the plane.
That's so great.
No drawing, just you win. So we'll give you more details on that and tell you about that as the morning progresses. Right now, we'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:52.
Here we go, Flyers. Here we go. Here we go, Flyers. Here we go.
Double OT last night. Ralph's very excited.
Yeah, it was very exciting. It hurts to lose those.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
that.
But it sure feels good to win them.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with the Capitals on Saturday, because if you're 3-1 down in the series and you lose a double overtime
game brutal.
That you really should have won, they outplayed the Flyers considerably last night. And what does that do to your morale when you're going into the game? You know?
And they've got that dude Ovechkin who's unbelievable.
The best
65
player in the
goals.
League. Yeah.
But not last night.
But he's a stinking
Very
Rusky.
Exciting.
That's the problem.
He's a Rusky?
He's a freaking Rusky.
Probably a communist, too,
probably
by the way.
A communist, and he does not belong in our sport.
In our country. That's I don't right. think in our whole country, not just the sport.
Ducks are also down 3-1, and we have some tickets for that coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show, if you'd like to go right now.
Come
Ralph
on, Ducks. I would like a Flyers-Ducks finals. That's what I would like. That'd be hot.
I'm sure the Ducks fans would be happy with that as well.
How dare you?
No, I'm just saying. They'd like to be in it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would. I thought you meant it would be an easy series.
They
do. Those Penguins are scary.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they're amazing.
Scary stuff. I love hockey. I love playoff hockey tons.
Yeah, it's the best.
Hockey for me is like one of those sports that I touch base with periodically throughout the 470-game season. And then once the playoffs hit, then it gets really exciting.
Sure does.
I like basketball for me, too.
Same thing.
Hard time to play for me to follow every game all season long.
You do get the feeling that they can't keep up the intensity every game all year, so they have to kind of 85% it for a while. But in the playoffs, they don't, and it's really a lot more fun that way.
How about the basketball game?
Yeah, how about that?
That's what we were saying, Leslie.
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? American Idol loser, Christy Lee Cook, who just got booted off the show.
Serves her right.
Is a winner where it counts.
For doing that porn that she did. That
she didn't do porn.
Naked photos.
She didn't have naked photos.
No?
What are you
I wish she had. I don't know.
She's a winner in her heart because her fiance, Andy, proposed to her Thursday night on American Idol Recap.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yes.
I don't know where that airs.
That's TV Guide channel?
TV Guide channel?
I think so. I think that's right, yeah.
Wait a minute. There's a whole show that's a recap of American Idol?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, my friend.
Really?
And it's hosted by two former losers themselves, and they go back and they recap all the week's events in American Idol.
But it's on the TV Guide channel. They do a live red carpet out in front of each show, too, where they interview people coming in and speculate and have experts on the whole deal. Oh, yeah, it's a big deal.
Wow. I hope neither of you watch that.
I've seen it.
You both do.
I've never seen it. No, I've never,
never
seen
once.
It.
Never once.
Never, right. not.
I've
got to
watch
never,
it.
Never.
But I've come across it.
That means Beans watches it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've come across it.
I really haven't.
No,
just
no,
happened.
No one accidentally stumbles on the TV Guide channel.
That's true.
I never have.
Never happens.
No, when you're looking at the grid and you're going through and you see American Idol Rewind or whatever it is, you go, I wonder what that is. Then you click on it and you know what. Then you see what it is.
Don't do that.
Never happened.
Well, it happened to me. That's all I'm saying.
Sad news is Christie's fiance had to sell her horse to buy her engagement ring. So.
Again?
Yeah, it's another horse.
Poor horse.
It's another horse. How much do you want for this horse?
Okay, that sounds
people.
Like a pig. First of all.
What was that last noise?
That was a pig.
Okay.
That was,
second of all, they don't really talk like that in Oregon, Ralph.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. Country F's.
Come on.
That was... Ned Beatty in the woods. That's what that was.
Yes, that was.
Yeah, that's what I was reenacting. Robert Downey Jr. acquired some great new habits while working on Iron Man. He said he spent about 1,500 hours working out for the role.
Oh, my God.
Damn. He says he appears shirtless in the movie about 11 seconds. But he said it was all worth it. He even quit smoking for the role.
Wow.
Which is just nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Apparently, after shooting was done, he lit up again. But he said he's since thrown the pack away trying to quit again. So it's tough, even for Iron Man.
Sure.
Iron Man can't smoking. Do it.
Exactly. I can't wait for that movie. I'm more excited than ever. Every trailer, every extended trailer I see, I get more and more excited.
It looks good.
Looks terrific. David Hasselhoff's divorce with his wife is finalized. And reportedly, Access Hollywood obtained a copy of the settlement papers. And now we know who gets what.
Good.
Here's how it breaks down. He's going to have to shell out $21,000 a month in support for her.
Wow.
21 grand.
$21,000 a month.
A month.
A month.
A month.
Okay.
Now, you know how crazy I think a lot of alimony amounts are? She had to be married to David Hasselhoff. I think she earned it.
She should get more. She should get, like, leggy money, whatever that fraud's name is.
Yeah, maybe.
She should get all of it.
Get all of his money.
I mean, he is Hasselhoff.
You got to give him a booze allowance, though.
Well, no, that's really all he wants.
That would probably help him.
You give him the bar.
That's right. He spends 21 grand a month on malt liquor.
Yeah.
She also gets 5 grand in child support for their 2 children a month.
How can you spend 5 grand on your kids a month?
You know, if you've got them in private school and stuff.
I'm guessing that's the biggest expense.
3 kids?
2 kids.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Let's see. He, however, gets the important stuff. He gets the dolphin located in the African room of their house.
The dolphin.
Yes.
It's a stuffed
pet dolphin?
Dolphin?
I think it's a stuffed dolphin.
Oh.
It's kind of awful.
But it's a real, used to be a real dolphin that's stuffed.
From what I understand.
Okay.
Okay. So he gets the dolphin that's located in the African room of their house.
They have an African room.
Of course, Kevin. Doesn't everyone?
Okay.
Like, you don't have an African room.
I don't.
I thought it was
you have an African. Don't you have an African?
I have an African,
stays in a room in your house, right?
Yes, I do have that.
That would be the African room.
Do you think dolphin when you think African?
Sure.
By the way?
The most dangerous of all the dolphins is the African dolphin.
Odd.
It'll charge you at a moment's notice. he gets the elephant, also located in the African room.
Sure.
What is going on?
He gets all of the free weights located in the Encino family residence.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to this document. He gets to retain all his Ted Williams baseball paraphernalia. I'm guessing that's including the frozen head.
He has that?
I think he bought that. Yeah.
Okay.
He gets the antique barber chair.
Oh, thank God. I know he really wanted that.
And this is a curious mention. I think maybe this is a typo. He gets the French maid located in the Encino family house.
What kind of typo could that be?
Well, you can't just get to keep a French maid.
Who gets the house? Who lives in the house now?
I believe she gets the house.
So maybe wherever he's living now, the maid comes and works for him instead of working for the wife.
Oh, I see.
Maybe that's what it is.
I got you. She gets the Mercedes, the Lincoln Navigator, her mother's paintings, her Sports Illustrated photo, a signed photo of Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And half of David Retirement's funds. But this is my favorite part. He gets to maintain the rights to the Hoff, Malibu Dave... And the catchphrase, don't hassle the Hoff.
Yay!
Those are still his. He gets to hold on to those.
Okay.
Because she wanted them?
Malibu.
That's odd.
Well, think of the money to be made off of Malibu Dave.
trying.
We've never
I
heard of before
really
that one time.
Never heard of that.
I've ever heard of that.
You know what that is?
Oh, like you haven't seen the Malibu Dave t-shirts going
is that
up and down the
like
street?
Like a nickname of his or something?
I went and bought my Blue Blockers yesterday. Yeah. And the guy had Blue Blockers and Malibu Dave t-shirts. That's
wow.
all he was
Who knew?
To. Yeah. The Hoff and Don't Hassle the Hoff, of course.
When the maid shows up at Hasselhoff's house, does he say,
"This is a mess"?
He also
quite
says, "Would you please dust my dolphin?"
Yeah.
Apparently, he also says. Today's celebrity birthday is Suri Cruz. Heir to the Scientology throne
yeah.
is 1 year old today.
Yeah.
Happy
it's like
birthday,
a,
Suri.
It's like a prince in England. You know, just eventually she's
going to
win
it
all.
She'll yep. be Queen Suri. Melissa Joan Hart. Formerly the Teenage Witch, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Sure. Now, generally, she's pretty good looking, but she's so fat right now that I don't know that I can give her a belt.
Is she?
Yeah, well, she just had a kid, I think.
Yeah.
And so she's still carrying the baby weight.
Let's hold off on the bell for a minute.
All right. Okay. She's 32, by the way. No longer a teenage witch.
No.
Right, no. She's a full-grown adult fat witch.
Fat witches, by the way, have more power.
Yes, they do. Maria Bello.
Yes.
One of my favorite actresses. She's a stunning 41 years old today. Conan O'Brien turns 45. Kourtney Kardashian is 28. Is she the fat Kardashian?
I think she's China.
She's China Kardashian?
Oh,
yeah.
China Kardashian.
She's the big burly Kardashian?
Yeah, she's burly there.
She's burly there. At America Ferrara, you know her as Betty Ugly.
Betty Ugly.
Bond. James Bond. She's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This comes from the AP. It looks like Bill Cosby is going to do a rap album.
He's never sung ever.
The 70-year-old has recorded a hip-hop album set for release next month. It's called Cosby Narratives Volume 1, State of Emergency.
Worse than that, Lisa, he has sung. He made records in the 60s and 70s, and he's awful.
Oh, I just thought he made comedy records.
Yeah, he did
I didn't
that
know,
too.
I didn't know he did sang. Did you say sang?
Well, he did. He well, sort of, if you want to call it. It sounds exactly like what you would expect Bill Cosby singing to sound like. But he also is a huge jazz fan and has put out a ton of instrumental type jazz music as well. But he sings on a bunch of songs too. He's terrible. I can't, in my wildest imagination, imagine what it would be like for him to be rapping.
Now he's been going through the country lately, giving speeches, right? About about black people, how to pull yourselves up and don't shoot yourself in the foot, kind of
right.
speeches.
State of Emergency is his campaign. I think that's why they're naming the album this, is because he thinks that the black neighborhoods are in crisis right now. You know, families are splitting up and getting into drugs and crime and stuff like that. So the man is on a tear. So I guess he just looks at this as another way to kind of get his message out that, you know, black people need to be more responsible for their actions. And the rap album, though, just blows my mind. So we asked producer Alex to line up the Cos, and I think we have Mr. Cosby on the line with us right now. Good morning, Bill.
Governor, it's me. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing very well. How are you? What?
Could I be better?
Couldn't be better.
Okay.
Feeling now, very good this morning.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. Now, you are what? You're 70? About 70 years
I
old now?
I am 70 years young.
Yeah.
70 years young.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone out there in the target audience that you hope to reach, which I assume is young black people, who are going to be interested in a rap album from you?
Well, I certainly hope so. Because I was the big hit on the television.
Yeah, you had the Cosby Show. Yeah.
You see, I had the hottest show on television.
When was that, 80s?
In the 80s,
the Cosby
sir.
Show?
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And also, I had the Fat Albert Show.
You had the Fat Albert Show, yes.
It was the 60s, though, right? Or 70s, right?
That was the 70s.
70s.
Right, but what I'm saying
many
is that
children would get up on Saturday morning, have their cereal, watch them.
That's true.
Right. But what I'm saying is the 20-year-olds that you want to reach, Bill, don't have any idea who you are.
I fucked off with the present problem.
What?
I don't know what you're saying.
I think they do.
You think they
you do.
Do?
Oh, you think they do? Okay.
Because, you see, they've seen me selling the Jell-O pudding.
Well, you have done those Jell-O pudding commercials.
Jell-O ran and pudding.
Okay.
Yum, yum, yum.
Who would you say, Mr. Cosby, is your hip-hop influence? Are you in the Snoop Dogg vein, or you're more like 50 Cent? What do you like?
I'm more like 75 Cent.
See, because you're not just 50.
I'm a little bit more.
A little bit more than that.
Oh.
Another quarter.
I'm another quarter cent.
So, yeah, when does the rap CD come out?
I'm 99 cents.
What?
I'm 99 cents.
You keep going up.
I do.
Yeah, all right. When does the rap CD come out? It's next month, right?
It comes out sometime in the future.
So you don't know.
When the box is filled with the records, go to the store.
Right.
Then they open it up and put it on the shelf.
We understand how that works.
And then people buy them.
Have you already recorded? Have you finished recording?
Of course I've recorded the CD.
Okay.
Can't put the CD in the case unless you've recorded something to put on it, you see.
Yeah. That makes sense.
What type of music is it? Do you mind telling us about the rap songs?
Well, it's a hip-hop album.
Right.
So I'm guessing hip and hop.
Okay.
All right. And it's wonderful.
Would it remind us of anyone else that we know?
Yes. It would remind you of Scatman Crothers.
Because we know his work so well.
Very hot reference for the young people, Bill.
But the first single off the CD will be everywhere soon, and you won't be able to go anywhere without seeing that.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. They're handing us, is this your CD here that we have a copy
of? You have my first single that will be dropping off the CD.
Oh, so this isn't the new song then?
Okay. This is the song.
Okay.
That is the first song that people will be able to hear from me.
Okay. And do you need to tell us anything about it?
It's called the OGBC.
The OGBC.
Because I'm BC. Okay.
Bill Cosby.
That's right. You got that right.
Okay.
Now you're a smart guy.
There you go. This is the world premiere of Bill Cosby's new rap CD.
Listen up, mother. This is Bill Cosby. Yeah. BC. MCBC. Telling you how we used to do it back in the old days in North Philadelphia.
Philly.
You see, I don't sleep, motherfucker, on the streets slagging jello. When it comes to pudding pops, I'm one bad fellow, Bill Cosby, in the place to be. Pivot straight up out of Temple University. Make it rain on the bitches when I'm up in the club. Got a pocket full of dollars and a bottle full of bub. Don't believe me, hoes? Just give me a chance, cause the real fat offered is in my pants. Hey, 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 what can I say? Did a dirty Sanchez on Lisa Bonet. Did a three-way with Rudy and Vanessa too. Beat the shit out of Theo Chili's black and blue. Fuck life, gang banging trendsetter. I'm the illest motherfucker in a cashmere sweater. OG, primetime TV, the king of hip-hop, call me Bill Cosby.
All you bitch ass n- know not to step the Cliff Huxtable. Bill Cosby's a gangster.
And that is how it's done, you see.
Yeah, you tell him, Cos.
You know he's a gangster.
Just like when I was Felicia Rashad.
Bill Cosby's a gangster.
Making her old bleed. Hey, hey, hey.
Wow. Bill, am I mistaken? I thought your whole thing was no cursing and no hoes and no bitches.
Yeah.
I thought you were against all that.
That used to be.
Yeah?
Until I got in the studio.
Oh,
but
I see.
It's so much more fun.
I gotcha.
To beat the bitches and fling the jello. Duel for the drugs and the alcohol.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear that.
Turns out the rappers were right.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show with the latest from Weezer called Pork and Beans. Not kidding.
So, I know. I have not listened to the lyrics of that song. Is it about pork and beans, or is it just one of those non sequitur titles that doesn't have anything to do with what they're singing about?
Asking the wrong guy.
Man, the guy who never listens to lyrics.
Have to ask the king, I guess. Hey, by the way, coming up, a huge show, as you already know. Joe Rogan on the program today, Jenna Jameson, Scott Weiland, STP tickets. It could be your very last chance to see the Anaheim Ducks. I hope that's not the case, but they are coming back to the Honda Center to play tonight, down 3-1 to the Dallas Stars. If you're a hockey fan, you want to go. We are going to be playing a game for you in about 10 minutes or so. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067.
Every once in a while, we get a piece of information that comes through the black market. We can't tell you where we got
back
it.
Channels.
The back channels. Sometimes our fax machine just goes.
Really?
And we don't have any idea who sent over an internal memo from another radio station, but we're very happy that they did.
Oh, that's fine.
Interesting.
Internal. It's actually an email trail of a bunch of different emails, and they're talking about their very, very creative 420 celebration this year.
Oh, okay.
Now, Sunday. Sunday is 420.
Yep.
Okay.
And Star 98.7
Well, when I think of 420, I certainly think of stars.
They are going to celebrate in a big way. Okay. I mean, they mean
well,
it.
Well, hold on, Kevin. Before you go on, please understand, very edgy, very hip station. Yes. Always have been.
Yes. So this is an internal email that goes around to everybody that works there on what they're supposed to be doing this weekend. And the first one comes from their program director.
Okay.
He's the guy that's in charge. And it says, hey, all, for the 420 weekend, you know none of you are, quote, on air. You will be coming in for your normal shift, but you're not on air because you are all, quote, sick. Remember?
So they're still showing up to just play music, but they're not going to talk because they want people to think that they're partying?
I need all air staff to cut the following line. ASAP, you will be calling into the 98.7 personnel office. Give your own twist. Make up whatever stupid story you want. Just know we all know you're not really sick.
Okay.
Because for 420, they are going to party so hard over there that
like they
can't
do.
Possibly show up to work. All of them. This is their idea. So then the guy gives them suggestions for what to say.
Oh, good.
Friday, today. Tell them it's Friday and you're calling in sick.
Now, I don't understand, Kevin. I'm sorry. Do they play these messages back that people have left on the personnel phone number?
Hi,
this is guy who does afternoons. I sure don't feel well and can't be in there today. And that's what they play all afternoon long?
I imagine. I don't know.
I'm sure smoking out and listening to Third Eye Blind records like we play.
So Friday, call in, tell them you're sick. Saturday, tell them it's Saturday and you're still sick.
Oh, that's creative.
You get this. This is the coup de grace. On Sunday,
yes.
Tell them it's Sunday and you're, in capital letters, still sick.
Yay!
So that's their big stunt, is they're going to just not have DJs on the air and they're going to have calls saying that they're, quote, sick.
Well, and yet these poor people still have to come in.
Yes, they do.
Well, that's just lame.
But you know what they have to come in and do? This is the best thing ever. So then the response to that is, speaking of being off this weekend, we need you all to focus in, strategize, and work as hard as ever. Michael, who's the program director, said his whole purpose of Jocks being off was to grow the network.
I don't understand that.
I will tell you what they're doing.
Okay.
While they're in studio, it says, we need you to full-on attack the market and get people to come to us. So basically, they want them to go to MySpace and Facebook and all sites that are on the internet and try to tell people how cool their radio station is.
Pretending not to be themselves?
I think. Yeah. Just say, hey, everyone.
Hey, I'm Bob, and I love Star.
I can't believe what a good station this is.
Have you listened lately?
You should be a friend. And then join friends or I don't know.
No kidding.
They're so crazy. Today's April 18th, and they're calling in sick because Sunday's 420.
Woo! Can you believe it? It says go to competitors in L.A., MySpace, and invite them. But in a cool way.
Oh, okay.
So you have to invite them in a cool way.
That is unbelievable. So in other words, basically, they're trying to create buzz. There's no buzz from the listeners. So they're trying to get to make it look like there are people who are falling in love with their radio station.
Yes. There's some kind of groundswell of support.
Gotcha.
But it's not real. It's just them out there trying to do it. As a matter of fact, a little bit later in the email, I don't have time to read it, but they have a contest going for whoever can get the most friends. They pay them money.
That is bizarre.
Listen, Bean and I love K-Rock. We really do. This is a great radio station. Would never do that.
No.
I mean,
no.
We're not going to go to MySpace and go, hey, have you heard that station, K-Rock? They sure are good.
It's just embarrassing.
I mean, as far as we're concerned, if you like it, you like it. And we're really happy you do. But we're not going to go fake this kind of excitement.
Oh, my God.
By the way, we actually have listeners, God bless them, who do that, who say, hey, that's a good show, or you should hear this song that they're playing or something like that. We don't actually have to do that. So.
By the way, we actually have employees who will call in sick on 420, too.
Yes, that is a very good point, Lisa.
But legitimately, right. They do it for real. So that is this jump, scream, and shout that 98.7 is the best radio station in the world, and people are going to miss out and possibly die if they're not a part of what we're doing.
Oh, they're threatening
awesome.
Death now.
And then they give their theme, and here it is.
Okay.
One team, one dream.
No.
Come on.
No.
That's fantastic.
That's true. Oh, I feel so left out. I'm not on a team. They get to be on a team.
You're not on a team, and you don't
have a dream.
Oh. One team, one dream.
Damn it.
Is how it ends.
That sounds like a Special Olympics theme. That's fantastic.
We are reading from an internal memo from Star 98.7 that just happened to show up at our radio station, and it's one team, one dream.
If you take anything away from today's show, it's one team, one dream. Tonight at the Honda Center, Ducks got their back against the wall. Win your tickets right now, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, what's this game called? I don't even think I knew.
Now it's time to play the favorite game show of the whole NHL, eh? Here's a game we like to call, What's the Hockey Term, eh? With your host, me, Guy LaPlante. Eh?
Hey, Guy. Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
Very good. Welcome to the studio.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, eh?
Sure. Very exciting time of year for you hockey fans.
Sure is. It's the best time of the year, eh? When all the teams finally get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. And
sure.
It's great fun to watch them all play. And
not all the teams.
That's why our game show is doing so well over there on Versus.
You have this game show on Versus? I haven't seen it. I watched
right after... It's late.
I watch that channel all the time.
You watch it at 3 a.m.?
I tape it.
Do you?
No.
That's when we are during the hockey recap segment. We have a game we play with a lot of the players called What's That Hockey Term, eh?
What's That Hockey Term, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have a bunch of Ducks fans on the line, Guy. And how's the game going to work? They're going to come on the air, and you're going to ask them a question that is going to involve a popular hockey term. Do I have that right?
I'll give them three choices, eh? And they have to tell me which one of those is the hockey term.
Okay. And this way we can get hockey fans, make sure they're the ones that are in attendance tonight.
Yeah. So this way they'll say, oh, that one's the hockey term, eh? And I'll go, yep.
That's how it's going to work.
And then they'll win. Or if I say nope, then they won't be winning, eh?
So if you say, yep, they win, nope, they don't.
That's pretty much how I've got it figured out, yeah.
Let's go to Philip in Moreno Valley. Good morning, Philip.
Morning.
Good morning.
You're on with Guy LaPlante.
How's it going?
LaPlum.
All right, here's your three choices. You've got to tell me which one is the hockey term, eh?
All right.
Okay. Five hole, ice hole, or puck hole?
Puck hole.
Nope. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, five hole is the hockey term. Yeah. Five hole, of course, is the space between the goalie's legs. When you shoot a puck between his legs, that's the five hole.
Don't think Lisa doesn't know that. Now it's great that we're playing this game the way we're playing it, Guy, because that guy clearly not a hockey fan.
No, he's
shouldn't
not.
Shouldn't be at the Honda Center.
He's a puck hole. At the game. He's a puck hole. Is what he is. That's what he said he was, and he is. Eh?
Jason in Huntington Beach. Good morning,
Jason.
Yeah.
All right, listen up. Here's your three terms. You got to tell me the hockey term, eh? Oh, he's a slow one, he is.
Yeah.
Jason, are you listening? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm listening. Sorry, my phone just cut out.
All right.
All right, listen up. Skate trick, hat trick,
turn
a trick.
I'm going to say the second one, because I can't.
He can't hear, so he's guessing the second one.
That's like a blind pass in hockey.
Yes.
And you get like
all right, say him again. Let's see if you can hear him.
All right, here we go. Skate trick, hat trick, or turn a trick.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, this is going well.
Where are you calling from? Saskatchewan?
He's gone.
We lost him.
Oh, we lost
Appreciate
him?
Appreciate that. Okay. You know, we have all these playoff tickets to give away for tonight. No one wants them, apparently.
Let's go to Shane in Redlands. Good morning, Shane.
Hey, good morning.
Shane, I'll give you the question I just told that other fellow who died.
Okay, be
hat trick is right.
Hat trick is correct, yes.
Hat trick is three goals by the same player in the same game. Eh?
Yep.
And you know what the fans do? They're so crazy, they throw hats on the ice.
They don't.
Oh, they
do. It's out of control.
And sometimes they throw squid, eh?
Well, thank you, Shane. You'll be at Honda Center tonight to see Dallas come to town against Anaheim. Let's try Todd in Calabasas. I've got a good feeling about Todd. Todd, you're on with Guy LaPlante.
Okay, the guy who missed a hat trick? Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think he'll
be beaten with a hockey stick.
He was a bit deaf, eh?
Do I get any pub for actually being one of the guys that threw a squid on the ice at a game?
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
That's pretty sweet.
You could get pub for it, sure.
It's pretty sweet. I love love squid on the ice.
And now I just jinxed myself, and I'm going to miss the question.
Yeah, no, here you go. Here's your three terms. You got to tell me which one's the hockey term, eh?
I think you'll get this one.
Here we go. The rim, the slot, or the gash?
I object.
The slot is correct.
The slot is correct.
Lisa, you can't object.
There's
no
question.
No objections.
Those are all nasty sex terms.
No, they're not. The slot is the space between the two playoff circles right in front of the goalie where you shoot the
don't
puck.
Don't lie.
From.
I know what the slot
That's
is.
That's what it is, you whore.
Yeah. All right, you win, Todd. You're going to be there.
You're like French-Canadian whore I knew once.
Have fun. Hey, Guy, I'm sorry for folks who are joining us late. What's the name of the game again, please?
What's the hockey term, eh?
Now it's time to play the favorite game show of the whole NHL, eh? Here's a game we like to call What's the Hockey Term, eh? With your host, me, Guy LaPlante.
Okay. All-time high scorer for the Saskatchewan Beavers, by the way.
You are?
In the IHL. That's right, yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Yeah. You ever play in the NHL?
No. Ah. They wouldn't have me. They're afraid of me.
Dan and Azusa, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Dan, here's your terms. Tell me which one's a hockey term, eh? Twister, wrister, or fister?
Oh!
Twister.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry?
Twister.
Twister, no, sorry. A wrister. Sorry. Wrister is a wrist shot. A shot where you flick your wrist and you shoot, that's a wrister.
Yeah, sorry about
sorry.
That.
Sorry, nope, you don't go.
All right.
Lisa, no objection to fister? I'm surprised.
I give up.
She's a fan of that. You're going to love the next one, then, French-Canadian whore lady.
Brian in Anaheim. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Brian, which one of these is a real hockey term, eh? Stack the pads, hang the pads, or bloody pads?
Oh, come on.
There's a lot of fighting that happens in hockey. You can get, you know, that could be a
potential. Oh, so I see what you mean. Uh-huh. Brian, which one's a hockey term?
Stack the pads.
Stack the pads.
Yeah. That's when correct. A goalie kicks both of his legs to one side and puts his pads on one on top of the other.
One on top of the other. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian. You're going.
All right.
Not sufficient excitement about this.
No.
Especially a guy in Anaheim, too. All right, we got a couple pairs left. Let's try Matt in La Habra. Hey, Matt, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock with Guy LaPlante. Listen up for the hockey term, eh?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
All right, here's your choices. The peak, the port, or the point?
The point.
The point, that's right. That's the area by the blue line there in the corners where you shoot the puck from.
Very good. Well,
congratulations. You're going to be at the game.
Let's try one more, Guy.
So one more. Okay, I'm going to skip down a couple for you who are playing at home. I'm going to skip down a couple. Okay.
The people
okay.
that are playing at home have the list?
No, I hope not. That'd be silly.
Jason and Whittier, good morning.
Morning, Lisa May.
Hello.
All right, here are your terms. Tell me which one's the hockey term, eh? Butterfly, beaver tail, or moose knuckle?
Butterfly.
Yeah. That's when a goalie spreads his legs out in a butterfly wing type position there.
What's a moose knuckle? I'm not familiar.
Moose knuckle is when the goalie takes his paddle there, his stick, and puts it between your legs when you're standing in front of him in the crease, and then he pulls real hard.
Ouch.
And he gives you a moose knuckle.
All right. Yeah. Congratulations, Jason. You're going to the game.
All right.
Thank you, Guy. Job well done.
Oh, I wish I had I wish I had more questions for you, fellas.
That's all right. We can do it next time.
I think I'm out now.
Yeah.
I think I've used everything I know about hockey.
Yeah. Well, that's
you guys
all right.
Don't need a sports guy, do you?
No, we don't. Thank you, though. Damn.
One team, one dream. Whatever with Joe Rogan. Janet Jameson's coming in.
I know.
That's who the fellas are excited about.
Yeah. Sure. Zombie Strippers looks like the best movie ever.
Mr. Man Crush over there. Let's talk about show business, shall we? Fox News doing a story on Heath Ledger reports that, according to people on the set, Heath was seriously on the brink psychologically in the days leading up to his death.
No kidding.
They could tell?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Sources say he started acting strangely on the set of The Dark Knight, the new Batman movie that he stars in. He would show up onto the set and just lurk in the background on his days off while they were shooting. He would just sort of linger around the set and watch everybody in an odd way.
Hmm.
He would stay in character for long periods of time and would refuse to speak to anyone who didn't address him as the Joker.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. I have, yes.
He is playing it so much more dark and
film is
desolate and everything else than, you know, Jack Nicholson's.
Yeah.
Almost clown-like.
He was encouraged to get help after a shooting wrap, but apparently didn't take any heed to the fact that he was having some issues having played the role.
Ruff, you're an actor.
Yes.
What about these people?
I am.
What about these people? And there are quite a few of them that you hear about who have to stay in character all the time. Do you get that?
I look. Everyone has their own method of working, and so you can't really criticize someone's technique, what they need to do to get them to a certain place in order to give a good performance. So you really can't. But my favorite story about that goes back to a movie called Marathon Man. Marathon Man star Dustin Hoffman is based on a very popular book by William Goldman, who's a screenwriter. And it's about these Nazis this guy who stumbles across this Nazi planet, and they come after him, and then there's a torture scene, a famous torture scene.
The dental torture scene.
Legendary British actor Laurence Olivier plays a Nazi torturer in this film, and he's got Dustin Hoffman tied to a chair. And Dustin Hoffman's been up for like 3 days, and he's drilling into his tooth.
Oh.
And he's alternately putting cold water on a nerve or some sort of oil that soothes it. So he's got the power to give him extreme pain or take that pain away. And he's asking him these questions while he's torturing him. So anyway, Dustin Hoffman shows up on the set, and he's supposed to be up for 3 days at this point. So he hasn't slept in 3 days.
He literally didn't.
Did not go to bed for 3 days. Shows up on the set, and he's out of his head, and he can't remember his lines. He's having a hard time focusing because he's been sleep deprived. He's been up for 3 days. And so Laurence Olivier says, "What's going on with you?" And he's like, "Well, I haven't been to bed in 3 days because, you know, my character hasn't been to bed for 3 days, so I wanted to experience that." And Laurence Olivier looks at me and goes, "My dear boy, why don't you try acting? It's so much easier."
And then he proceeded to drill his teeth for real.
And then he literally drilled him in the teeth for real. Yes. But, you know, there's two different camps. There's some people who just put on a character and just do their job, and there's some people who have to inhabit their character.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. But I always love that line. Try acting. It's so much easier. Kristen Bell.
Yes. Oh, I love her.
Just spoke with her yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Has some advice for all the young ladies who have their heart broken. Of course, everyone's asking her about her own heartbreak because of the storylines of Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where she breaks this dude's heart. So a lot of the journalists ask her about her own heartbreak. She says that if someone breaks your heart, you just have to take off. Just get out of town. Go to a yoga retreat, she suggests.
A yoga retreat?
Well, most of us do have that kind of time and money.
Then hit every roller coaster in America for mindless fun.
Okay.
So that's her advice. Go on a yoga retreat and then go on roller coasters.
I always heard if you want to get over somebody, you get under somebody else.
Oh, you know you're dead!
That's what I always heard.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Kristen Bell's ever been dumped, by the way.
By the way, she says, it's funny in this article, that despite her words of wisdom, she also admits she's never been through a bad breakup.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
So
she seems like the dumper, not the dumpy.
Yeah.
Oh.
How many times will Dave go see that movie this weekend?
All the times it's showing in every theater that's showing it. People are concerned about Jamie Lynn Spears and the risks she's taking while she's pregnant. In Touch magazine has pictures of her in an off-road vehicle with no seatbelt on. Maybe you've seen the video of that.
I have.
In a four-wheel ATV while her fiancé has a handgun in his lap while he's driving.
Sure. That's Louisiana.
She has no seatbelt on. Apparently she goes hunting with Casey, her fiancé, all the time, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Nothing bad can happen there.
Gunplay.
And they also have photos of her lifting heavy bags of dog food. Well, look, the dog's got to eat.
Wow.
You got to get those clothes clean by banging them against a rock down there in Louisiana.
You can have the baby in a field.
I guarantee you hold on to two trees, you bear down and just leave the baby in the field. Cherchez la femme.
Who's your whore?
Unreal.
Wow.
This girl used to have a TV series.
Yeah. She's related to Britney.
Carrying dog food, hunting, driving an ATV.
Breaking up fights in bars.
She's backwoods. It's nuts. And Lisa Rinna.
Lips.
She doesn't get a bell?
Lisa Rinna.
I don't know. The lips.
Sure. Come on.
But the body's amazing.
But she's had those lips forever. It's not like they're new lips. She's had giant lips her whole career.
They're gianter.
I think she's just, you know, bucking them up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Those are DSL.
She is, she's 44 years old. And she's still...
She looks amazing.
Her body is hecka slamming.
Yeah.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Hecka slamming?
Really? Yes.
All right.
What? Oh, Prince can say it, but I can't?
That's correct.
I don't buy into your racist double standards, Kevin. Her body's hecka slamming.
I'm just saying,
Kevin
I'm not sure you can
Kevin
pull
has
that
to
off.
Be squirming right now that we're talking about a 44-year-old being hot, by the way. Let's just be destroying
No, I
his,
asked for
his
the
mind.
Bell. Yeah. I said, doesn't she get a bell?
Well, I'm just saying. She's a little long in the tooth for you. That's all I'm suggesting.
That's true.
In Touch magazine has a story on her sexy secrets to a sexy body.
Okay.
It's not eating right and working out, is it?
No, Lisa.
Oh, that'd be too easy.
She fills up on power bars, chicken salad, almonds, and cheese plates.
Mike?
Will that do it, Mike?
Is that recommended?
It's like a
is that the good diet plan?
Mishmash of stuff.
I can do cheese plates.
Can you do power bars, chicken salad, and almonds?
I could do all that.
Well, then you, you two will have a body like Lisa
awesome.
Rinna.
Very,
very good. Who knew? Mention her training regimen at all?
No.
Okay.
I'll just do that then.
Okay, just eat that.
Just eat, no just eat exercise.
That. All right.
Then you'll be hecka slamming.
Bang Harry Hamlin a lot. Today's celebrity birthday, Suri Cruz is one. It's weird to give an age as one.
Yeah.
You don't usually do that in the showbiz birthdays.
No. There aren't a lot of super famous babies.
That's true. You don't get a lot of one-year-olds.
We don't do the Pitt Jolie babies really much, do we?
Well, they're not going to inherit the kingdom.
Yeah, oh, that is true.
You know,
the Pitt Jolies are sort of like a mob over there. Yeah. You know, it's just sort of like, who knows which one is which? Could you pick them out in a lineup? No. Suri, she's got that special quality.
Okay.
She's got stardust in her eyes.
Yes, she does.
Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, is now Sabrina the pudgy middle-aged mom.
Post-pregnancy mom.
She's 32. Maria Bello is 41 years old today. Conan O'Brien turns 45. And Amerigo Vespucci.
Oh.
I think America Ferraro is
looking for there. Amerigo Vespucci discovered America.
Right. Different guy.
Different dude. He's like 400 or something.
This is Ugly Betty.
Yeah, Ugly Betty. She's 23. She's much younger.
Much.
Than Amerigo Vespucci. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you heard Amerigo Vespucci?
Never.
By the way? That's something for the kids to Google.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I never have either.
Never. Have no idea.
I like to give you a little education along with the entertainment.
Nope.
So I want all you kids out there to Google up Amerigo Vespucci.
You're right on that.
I'm sure they'll do that. They're going to flood the websites.
Enlightening and enjoyable.
Sure.
Thank you for pointing that out. You're the smartest guy I know.
You're very welcome. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Damn, Joe Rogan has really let himself go. Look at that. Jeez.
So sad.
That's Beer Mug.
Oh, that's intern Beer Mug.
Yeah.
It's the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. The lovely Jenna Jameson on the program today talking about the greatest movie ever, the zombie stripper movie. Also, we've got, how about Scott Weiland? How about talking about the STP reunion and giving you tickets to see them not only here in town, but in Las Vegas? Details on the way. First, though, we got some important business to take care of.
Well, our intern Beer Mug is here, and he is a world-class eater. He has been breaking records left and right. Each week we have him attempt a new record, and he demolishes it. These records cry for relief. They say, please don't have Beer Mug come after me.
He's 0 for 2 so far. He got about half of what he needed for the most peeps in 30 minutes, and he wasn't even close to how many bananas you can peel and eat in a minute. So he's a failure, basically, is what he is.
Oh, so he hasn't had any?
He hasn't broken any records yet, but that has not dampened his enthusiasm to try, and that's what I love about Beer Mug. And Mug, before we talk about today's record and give you the chance to go for it, what motivates you? What drives you to want to be a competitive eater?
Well, first of all, I love watching competitive eating on TV.
Really?
It's okay. Probably one of the most entertaining sports.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's awesome.
Is a big deal for you. This is like a kid who loves to watch hockey. All of a sudden, he gets put in the majors, right? Yeah, I mean, he's actually playing in the NHL now.
Except I'm chasing my dream right now. I haven't quite made it yet.
Yeah. So Dave, the King of Mexico, has printed out a bunch of records from the International Federation of Competitive Eating.
Okay.
For example, ice cream, 1 gallon, 9 ounces of vanilla ice cream in 12 minutes.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow, brain freeze.
Candy bars, 2 pounds chocolate candy bars, 6 minutes.
Wow.
Chicken nuggets, 80 in 5 minutes.
Oh, you could do that.
Wow, I could do that. No problem.
I don't think so. Eggs, 65 hard-boiled eggs in 6 minutes, 40 seconds.
Wow.
Oysters, 46 dozen oysters in 10 minutes.
What's the multiplication on that?
46 dozen.
Wow. That's a lot in a little bit of time is what that is, Mike.
Wow.
Peanut butter jelly sandwiches, hamburgers, grilled cheese sandwiches. We have all these records in front of us, but we were thinking of trying to attack a record that is currently held by Big Black.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
From your friend Rob Durden in his TV show.
Here's a little clip from Rob and Big.
The record as it currently stands for most powdered donuts eaten in 3 minutes is 4. Mm-hmm. And the key thing here is that you do not lick your lips.
Let's do it.
Oh. Okay, so you have to. That's the rule. You can't lick
your
lips.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's hard. That's like nearly impossible.
That's why it's a record, dude. These aren't supposed to be easy.
So the
this
record
is in the list of the easiest, most luxurious meals in the world, you know?
Oh, man.
The record was 4.
4 donuts in what amount of time?
3 minutes.
Three minutes. But then he ate 6,
no,
right?
He ate 5.
He ate five. Okay, so 6 is what you have to do. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, so the record is at 5.
Okay. I got this.
Now, Alex has been speaking to Big Black about this record, trying to get him on the air, and he's on a plane right now. But what did he say?
Well,
you talked to him, right?
Yes, I talked to him and everyone in his camp, and everybody ended the conversation with this. You know, it's a lot harder than it looks, right?
And even Big said that, and he did say the hardest part was not licking his lips.
Really?
He had to really concentrate on that and just pile the food in, and he thinks you're going to fail.
Now, mug search came in once again. I saw that video. And you guys know after my miserable attempt at the bananas
the
last
banana
week.
Banana was sad.
I totally could have done it now that I watched him
of
do
course.
It.
Of course. Yeah. If you just watch technique. It, you can do it.
Yeah.
Do you think coming today with your lucky Kobayashi bandana is going to help you?
I got my Kobayashi bandana on. I got Mike's blue blockers. It's all going to come in.
Well, you look
now.
Like a douche. I mean, if that's the record you're going for here, the guy who looks most like a douche.
It's the Kevin Federline look. Congratulations.
Let me ask you this, Mug, before we get ready to start the clock here, and that is, I thought part of your failure with the bananas is you stuffed, no swallow.
Exactly.
It seems like there was nothing going down.
Exactly what
happened. That's what she said. So did you learn from the banana debacle, as we're now calling it?
Yes.
And you've got a better approach here for the powdered donuts?
Yes, yes. Okay. History. We learn from history.
You tell me when you want me to hit the clock.
All right, Bean. I'm going to pick up the first donuts.
Okay. His first donut.
Here we go.
Hit the clock.
And go.
Taking a bite of a powdered donut seems to be taking a sweet time. I got to be honest.
It does seem a little bit leisurely, if I can be honest with you.
Not a lot of rushing here.
Big Black's technique, and he's copying it.
He's rhythmic.
Still chewing.
Yep.
This first bite.
Don't lick.
Still on the first bite. That's not taking a second yet.
We have not tried inspirational training music during the eating record before. Maybe this will help. Maybe this is what he needed, is something kind of to set a pace for him, a beat.
Come on, Mug.
Now he's taking a second bite.
You're 30 seconds in now, Mug.
He's almost got, he's just got a little tiny bit left in his hand.
So he's close to wrapping up the first one. He's got one.
Put the first one in his mouth. He hasn't swallowed it yet, but he has the first one.
He's getting it down.
It has left his
hand.
Close,
be careful. Don't lick your lips. Dude.
Chewing. This is the problem. When he did the bananas, he never swallowed.
Right.
All right, he's taking another bite, even though he didn't swallow the first one entirely yet.
That's what she said.
Perhaps the dryness of the donut is part of the problem.
Well, I think that's the point. Yeah.
That's what he said.
There's a reason that they make it a powdered donut, because clearly that's way more difficult than it is just a Krispy Kreme, right?
Still chewing.
But I like his calmness here.
Oh, he jammed the entirety of the second one in his mouth.
That's what she said.
Yeah, we could. Let's just have a standing. That's what she said during this record. All right, so two are in the mouth.
That's what she said.
Probably still has to
swallow
one and a half.
He's a minute and a half now. We're at a minute and a half, so he's halfway done.
Oh, big bite.
A big bite of the third.
Yeah,
about a third of the donut.
But you can't lick, but you can use your other hand to wipe your lips.
Can you?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Good,
all right.
Good. He's chewing fast.
Now, what happens if he doesn't swallow, though, Bean?
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
All right.
I think you have to, we have to check with Guinness, but my understanding is it has to be swallowed. You have to be able to open your mouth is empty, meaning you have eaten all that food.
Yes.
All right, we're in the final minute, by the way. 55 seconds left going for this world record.
He has jammed the entire third donut in. Now he has the fourth in his hand, but he has not swallowed since, the first donut.
He looks
right, but he's going to... He's not going to make five, much less six. So
how
clearly, he's already
you?
Failed.
I'm just saying.
Stack two.
But that doesn't help because he has to swallow. No reversals, dude.
You're not even
no.
Jesus. Bing is frowned on as well.
Uh-oh. I did not expect a reversal to reach me.
No.
He shot a reversal across the room.
Oh, it was a geyser. God. It was a geyser.
All right, he just took a fifth and just jammed it in his mouth entirely. Now it's kind of half hanging out.
That's what she said.
I don't think this is going to count because of the one that hit me in the face.
You can't. Can't be.
That's what he said.
3, 2, 1, and time, ladies and gentlemen. 3 minutes right there, Mug.
I would say he swallowed one. Honestly, he's got four in his mouth right now. How do you feel, Muggs?
Not good.
So 0-3 is what's happening here.
By the way, guys, he's 0-4. Do we not remember the hot dog eating contest?
All right, hot dog.
The worst showing of all.
0-4.
Yeah, but I don't think he was going for a record. That was just a kind of in the office bet of how many he could eat. He wasn't actually attempting a record in a certain period of time.
Oh, you could just
reversals all over the place.
Yeah,
come
this is
on.
Ugly.
Oh,
this is ugly.
No.
All right, we did videotape that, and I don't think anyone's going to want to watch it.
No,
but if you do,
not.
It'll be up at krock.com later on today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Beer Mug. At least he tried.
Why did we clap for that? That was a dismal failure.
Because I know, but it was a good effort.
But
though.
It wasn't a good effort. He didn't swallow any of them.
He came to play, man.
Can we do something I'm good at, like alcohol consumption and
a minute or something.
Let's talk to you more with that much food in your mouth. I think that sounds good.
This is Joe Rogan. This is the f***ing Fear Factor guy.
I thought that thing was going to be canceled immediately. 4 years later, I'm standing in front of a chick with a mouthful of animal going, "You can do it! You hang in there!" Your son has got a glazed look in his eyes, and his boners are poking out of his choo-choo train PJs, and he's trying to f*** your cat. Don't you think you might want to have a sit-down with that little girl?
Joe Rogan.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. UFC 83 is tomorrow night in Montreal. Joe Rogan joins us in the studios. The world-famous K-Rock here this morning. How are you, Joe?
I'm awesome. How you doing, man? What's going on,
Does
guys?
Does this mean you're going to Canada today or tomorrow?
I am not
this means?
Going to Canada. I'm not going to be there for the UFC this weekend.
Oh, you're not?
No, I had a family obligation.
Ooh.
That I could not get out of.
Why do they even bother having the UFC if Joe Rogan's not going to be there? They should be working around your schedule.
I like watching it, man. I like watching it way more than I like commentating. I like screaming, you know? I mean, the commentary job is the greatest job I've ever had, ever. But when you watch fights, you want to go, "Oh!" You know, I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to look at your friend and go, "God damn, put your jammies on."
Do you want to say put your jammies on?
Yeah, if somebody gets knocked out.
About half of the sports announcers do that. Have you noticed during an exciting part, something happened, not necessarily UFC, but any sport, about half of them, when something huge happens, they all just start yelling like crazy. They forget that they're...
I do it all the time. I do it all the time, but I can't swear. And,
you
know,
right. You can't really get into it.
It's fun to just watch, you know? It's fun to watch.
I bet the Joe Rogan commentary on your couch in your living room is the best. That, if you could sell that, people would really love it.
You got to hear my buddies who don't know as much about it, like Joey Diaz. I got this gigantic Cuban friend. He's 375 pounds, and he's high from the moment he wakes up until he passes
out. That's a lot of weed if he's 375 pounds.
He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. But he does this thing called Joey Karate, where he puts on a Taekwondo outfit on and breaks down the UFCs. Hearing him talk, like making up moves, and it's hilarious.
So UFC 83 tomorrow, though, this is a big one. I mean, this is one you probably you're looking. You would love to see this because this is the rematch
totally
that everybody's been
would
talking
love
about.
To be there live and feel it in the room because it's going to be like 20 something thousand people in Montreal, and they're all going to be rooting for St. Pierre. And Sarah's coming back, and you know Sarah knocked St. Pierre out in the last fight. It was going to be a huge fight.
What was the last fight? Like a year ago was the last fight.
Yeah, it was about a year ago. Yeah, somewhere
Sarah won.
There.
And
yeah.
Then how many fights have both of them fought since then?
Sarah has had no fight since then. He had a back injury. He was scheduled to fight Matt Hughes, but he had a back injury. So he had to back out of that fight. And St. Pierre fought Hughes. St. Pierre beat Hughes, got the interim title, and now the two of them are fighting for the unified.
Oh, it's going to be good.
The undisputed title.
How big are you all up in Canada?
UFC? I think it's huge.
Yeah.
I think it's huge all over the world now.
I mean, have they done many fights up there?
Well, Canada has its own promotions, too. They have TKO is a big promotion in Montreal. It's a huge mixed martial arts promotion that like sells out big places up there. And they have a couple other ones on the West Coast, too.
So they have a different like group than UFC?
They have other leagues, you know, or other promotions. But a lot of their guys, like Mark Hominick came from there. George St. Pierre came from there. He came from the TKO, like the organization.
So everybody there knows him and is rooting for him. And
oh, it's going to be insane pressure. You know, I mean, everyone's looking at it like there's a lot of support, but it's also a lot of people that you can let down. You know, both
your friends and family and everybody.
I mean, this is the guy that just brained you. You know, the last fight, that guy brained you. He got on top and shut you off. That's what he did. Yeah. He got on top of you, mounted your chest, and shut your brain off. Don't think you get over that. Don't think you get over that that easy.
I wouldn't think I would ever get over that.
Yeah, that was a vicious domination, too. It wasn't like he caught a lucky kick and he got knocked unconscious, and you can say, "Hey, I zigged when I should have zagged," and that's the game.
Yeah. Right, next time I can do something a little
bit
different.
He got clipped, and then he kept getting clipped over and over. I mean, it was a beatdown.
Yeah.
And it was a fight that he was supposed to win, and he's a super, super athlete, but man, that's going to be tough to get over. That's a psychological hurdle and a half.
Yeah.
And Matt Serra is a little pit bull. He's got serious jiu-jitsu. I mean, he's a world-class black belt. Like, he's had submission wrestling matches with big names, like this guy Takanori Gomi. He's a big fighter in Japan. Right. He just dominated him. I mean, Matt Serra just went right through him, took his back, strangled him. He's the real deal on the ground, too. So he can blast you on your feet, and he's a real deal. He's just very underrated. You know, it's a crazy fight. I can't wait. I got goosebumps.
You get to watch it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch it on pay-per-view.
So now, whatever you're staying home for, sick grandma or whatever it is, she's just going to have to chill while you go fight on Saturday night.
Well, that's the beauty of TiVo. You know, so even
if
you
watch it when you want.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's awesome.
And when those damn announcers start yap, exactly. You can fast forward right through it. You know?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I do. I don't want to hear those dudes talk or me talk.
This may sound like a generalization or a naive question, so forgive me if I sound stupid when I ask you this, Joe, but we've been lucky enough to have a lot of these UFC guys on the air over the years, and you know them all, and they're all – every guy we've talked to seems – smart and articulate and together
and nice.
It's so and nice, so different from boxing where there are guys that exist like that, but then there's an awful lot of them that are just dumb and not fun to be with. What's the deal? I mean, what's the mindset? Why are there so many of these guys that fit that description in the UFC?
Well, I think for one thing, a lot of these guys come from martial arts backgrounds, and in a traditional martial arts background especially, you know, there's a lot more emphasized than just the ability to fight. It's the ability to have control over yourself, the ability to be a better person. And Taekwondo, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, it was always explained to me that it was a vehicle for developing your human potential.
Right.
That it wasn't just something where you figured out how to fight someone. What you're really fighting when you go in there is your ability to control yourself over extreme situations and think under insane pressure and the worry of injury. And it's like a really, really super complicated, very scary game. You know, and the game is, let's play shut your brain off.
Yeah.
You know, and guys who are like crazy risk seekers are attracted to that game. And to be very good at that game, you have to be very intelligent because there's a lot of variables. There's punches and kicks and takedowns and chokes and arm bars and new jiu-jitsu moves that are coming up every week. And you got to know, man, don't put your arm on the ground when you're in the guard. You're going to get your arm broken. Look out, he's got his foot over your neck. And it's like, you got to be, I mean, you're thinking 1,000 miles an hour all the time when you're in there. And it's a monster rush for those guys.
Yeah.
And the regular BS that we go through, chest bumping, cutting people off in traffic, seems so ridiculous once you've seen that kind of competition. And you express yourself in that kind of competition, you know, even if it's just a jiu-jitsu class, for me, it's huge. It just gets all that chimp stuff out of your DNA. Just clean that out, please. I don't want to be aggressive.
I don't know what you mean when you say chimp stuff, but I'm worried.
You know what I'm talking about? Your chimp DNA. I mean, there's instincts that we all have to compete against each other, to the way we interact with each other that are based on competition.
Yeah. Right.
And they don't have to exist.
You can get out of your system.
With weed and jiu-jitsu. Come along with me, my friends.
Weed and jiu-jitsu.
Join my cult.
Now, exactly. The fight that's in a month in Vegas in May, that's going to be a big one, right?
Oh, my God. BJ Penn versus Sean Sherk. That's insane.
We need to have you back in before that one.
Oh, for
so you
sure,
can talk to us,
dude.
About it.
Let me go crazy on that one.
That one looks like it's going to be a great fight.
That's one of the greatest fights in the history of the sport. Maybe the greatest fight.
Wow.
Maybe the greatest fight, I think. In my opinion, you got an immovable object, this little pit bull, Sean Sherk, little 5'6" dude who you know, weighs like 176 pounds of solid muscle before he cuts down to 150. So he's 155. He's a beast. Unstoppable cardio. Dude can pound on you for every second of every minute of every round, and you never get a break, ever. And then you got BJ Penn, who's a freak. One of the greatest jiu-jitsu players ever. Here's a guy who won the world championships when he had been training for 3 years.
Really?
That's insanity!
Wow.
In Brazil. Not only was he a first American to win it, but to win it like that, 3 years of training? Insane! Lives in Hawaii on a rock in the island, and he's so good that people come to him. He lives on Hilo. There's only 35,000 people on the whole island of the big island. And they all come to him. Dudes come from all over the world to train with BJ.
Wow.
He's a freak!
That's like the 24th or the 26th or something of May. But we'll have
it's going to be insane.
We'll take a quick break. Joe Rogan is in the studio, UFC 83. He's not going to be on, but it's on tomorrow night, and he's going to watch. And we'll be right
back. It just does that for a while. You know, it just goes on like that for a while. You've heard it.
I just keep playing that.
I wanted to hear the end.
You've heard it.
So good.
They never really figured out an end for that particular record, Lisa. It's 7:41 on the Kevin Bean Show. Our pal Joe Rogan in the studio. You can be like Joe and buy UFC 83 on the pay-per-view. Just contact your local cable provider. Or you can get it, by the way, through Yahoo Sports, where you can stream it on your computer. You buy it there and then unlimited archive viewing. So it's a pretty good deal if you want to save it that way.
Joe, Alex has printed out your 5-page thesis love letter to your isolation tank.
Very curious about that.
It's a fascinating thing.
You're giving it away. I'm giving one away.
Well, I had a new one made. And when I got the new one.
Did you say made?
Made, yeah.
Can you just buy one?
Well, this one was kind of designed. I talked to this dude who makes them in Venice. I think his thing's called. It's on. If you go to my website and you read the story on joerogan.net, there's a video and it's got a link to his website.
Okay. I think it's floatcenter.com, but I'm not sure. But he's this crazy genius dude who designed this new tank. And one of the things is he made it much taller so there's more oxygen inside of it. And then he put an oxygen scrubber. He attached it to it so that, like, just like at an oxygen bar, where you go and you get pure oxygen.
Tell people, explain to people what the isolation tank is.
It's called, it was created by this guy, John Lilly, who is a psychedelic pioneer in the 70s. Or actually, I think he created it in the 50s. But this is a guy who used to drop a lot of acid and did a lot of crazy things and explored. It was back when it was really a scientific endeavor to explore the human mind with psychedelics. Like now, because of all the propaganda, the kids that are growing up today and, you know, and going through school and becoming scientists, they're looking at psychedelics like the way we look at all drugs. Like drugs are for losers. You take a drug, like you're going to get drugged up, like you're trying to avoid reality. But really, most psychedelics are hyper-reality. What it really is a very disturbing and objective and really all-encompassing view of all life altogether. And it's very hard to accept.
You make it
for
sound
a lot of
attractive.
People. Well, one of the things that this guy came up with was a thing called the sensory deprivation tank. And what he wanted to do was figure out a way to separate the mind from the influence of the physical body for a small period of time. And what he came up with was a tank that's filled with water. And it's like a long, flat, it's like 9 feet long by like 4 feet wide. And the water is about 11 inches high and it's filled with 800 pounds of Epsom salts. So it's
float.
A real thick, salty mixture. And when you get in there, you just float and your ears are underwater, so you don't hear anything. And they set the temperature to the exact same temperature as the surface of your skin, so you don't feel anything.
You don't feel the water. You have to close your eyes too because of the salt.
You pull the lid down. No, you don't lie.
Oh, your face up.
Your face up. Okay. Your face never goes underwater.
Okay.
It's like right above, like if you're lying on your back, right above the ear line.
Okay.
Like you do in the bathtub sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you chill out and you sit back, you're like, how can I get in here just perfect so I don't drown?
Right.
And just relax. And you get in this thing, and then you pull the lid closed, so you're in total silence, total darkness. You don't feel anything. You don't see anything. And in the absence of sensory input, your brain becomes like this different thing. It's like it doesn't have anything to deal with.
It's like being on drugs.
Exactly. It's very much like a natural psychedelic experience. The first thing it does is you start breaking down your life, like immediately. You start thinking about all the things you've been avoiding, all the things that you're putting in the back of the problems you have with your personality, problems you have with interacting with other people, mistakes that you've made in the past, and it tries to like set you straight, like show it, like now that we're not distracted, let's look at all this BS that you're dealing with, and you got to work this out. And it's a lot of times it's very uncomfortable because you're like, you know, you're very busy, you got a lot of stuff going on in your life. It's very tough to be confronted like really like brashly with all your life's problems, all the things that you're doing wrong or the things that you need to correct or the things that you need to improve. And then, you know, it'll show you good things too. But once you're inside of it for a while, once you start, you relax. And once you relax and you get comfortable with the experience and you get over all the psychological stuff, then you stop existing. You like literally become like a non-entity. You start thinking of life as not of you, of like as it of energy, and you start having these crazy psychedelic experiences.
So when
like
you
visions,
I'm afraid my mind would not ever say, "Hey, it's time to wake up and open the tube." Does
no,
it open
you,
up?
Yeah, yeah. You just
open up automatically.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about
I'd
it.
I'd lay if there you, forever. I would die.
You would definitely do it a lot. I know you would. You would for sure. If you had,
how
one
long
in your
have
basement,
you had this in your home, Joe?
I bought my first one. I guess it was about 4 years ago.
And, okay. And how often? How often do you use
time.
It?
I try to use it at least once a week, when I use it too much, it gets a little slippery.
It's slippery.
Like, life gets a little slippery. Yeah, to me.
I don't know what that means.
That's how I describe it.
Somehow.
Yeah, it's just I'm just it's very hard for me to relate to regular life because I'm just in this
it's
weird.
It's hard for you to
existence.
Do that anyway, by the way.
But it's not. I enjoy regular life. You know, I mean, I'm fascinated by things, and I think that, you know, what life is really is it's just this weird temporary experience that nobody understands. So I think just go through it and be nice to people and try to have a good time. That's what I want to do. And all these things that I'm interested in, I'm curious about, I'm just curious. So I just want to explore them and pay attention to them. But when you do this experience too often, it leaves you in that place where,
If you were to do it too often, are you saying that then you would have more trouble relating to real life because you would start to prefer the isolation tank
to
being in
your
house?
I'm crazy.
Yeah. Well, I know that, but I'm Bean's trying to figure out if he could be more isolated than he is now.
Well,
yeah, because it sounds pretty good.
Well, what it is you get accustomed to thinking in life in a very different sense than most people.
In a bigger
way.
Well,
let me ask you this, Joe.
A lot of people, and Lisa made the comparison, I guess you agreed that it's in some ways it replicates what people got from psychedelic drugs or get from psychedelic drugs.
Except you can end it anytime you want.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about
and there's
that.
No damage afterwards.
Right. It's totally natural. And it feels great. Like when you get out of it, your body, just for physically for your body, the ability to be in a no gravity situation, oh, it's great. But your back starts popping and opening up and loosening.
All right.
And
I have two questions for you. One is, do you pee in there? I mean, if you're in
no.
a long time,
oh,
you're
okay.
Okay.
No.
And number two is, have you ever had any kind of, and this is, you're a weird guy to ask this question to, but thinking back to the psychedelics, have you ever had any kind of a religious experience where you thought, now I get that, or now I see God, or anything like that, like some people do on acid?
Well, I think what religious experience is really, the root of all religious experience is psychedelics, for sure. I mean, if you think about it, psychedelic drugs have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, for
They're
sure.
all over the Bible, right?
Exactly. And the references them to in other scripts, you know, in Hindu texts and all, there's always Soma is considered, you know, another one that's recognized like in ancient Eastern culture. And for sure, if you lived thousands of years ago with no science and you stumbled across some mushrooms and you ate them because you were starving, you would have a mind-blowing vision.
Right.
I mean, Terrence McKenna, who is a brilliant guy. Well, he's a huge hero of mine. I've read like a bunch of his books, and one of his theories about psychedelics was that the reason why human beings evolved as quickly as we did was because of consumption of psychedelics. And he has it all broken down to a time period in the Earth where the rainforests were receding to grasslands, and there was a lot of cow-like animals, and these animals would poop, and these mushrooms would grow on the cow poop. And monkeys are always like turning over cow patties looking for grubs and beetles and stuff. And
hey,
they
enjoy
would
your breakfast, everybody.
With mushrooms. But these mushrooms, not only do they get you high, but they also increase visual acuity. They make you a better hunter. They make you see better.
Oh.
Increase in visual acuity. They make you horny. So you have
to reproduce.
You have sexually excited monkeys that can see better. So they can kill things better. They can become better hunters. And plus, they're having these mind-blowing experiences all the time. And he attributes it to the doubling of the human brain size over a period of 2 million years, which is one of the biggest mysteries in the entire fossil record. Number one mystery, for sure, is the doubling of the human brain size because it's such a short period of time. And he attributes it directly to that.
Now, you're giving away this isolation take. You're giving yours away to somebody who's on your
mailing list. What happened was after I got the new one made, my friend Eddie was going to take my old one. I was going to install it in his house. But he's like, man, I just don't think I have the room for it because it's pretty big. It's 9 feet long by 4 feet wide. But if you got a basement and it's open, you know, I thought about it and I said, let me just give this away online. Like, that would be fun.
You're not going to sell it on eBay or anything. You're just going to do a random drawing.
That's the right way to do it. I don't want to make any money from it. I don't need the money right now. I want to give it to somebody. I think that would be cool.
I want to ask one more question about, you said that you could sort of confront the problems in your life and stuff. Do you feel like since you started that you are handling those things better?
From psychedelic experiences, I'm a totally different human being. I mean, the essence of me, what I am, at the core, you know, what you are when you take away language and culture is all the same. It's the same as I was when I was 6 years old.
Right.
You know, you're this thing. But
less
but
mature
who I
in
am,
your case.
But the way I can, exactly. Never had to grow up. But the way I communicate with people is completely different. It's totally different.
Wow.
Can people go to your page, joerogan.net, and just sign up to be on your mailing list and then be eligible to win the thing?
Anybody can. But please, if you're signing up and you want to, I mean, if you really want to win it, you know, like, have a place to put it.
Of course. And when's the giveaway, Joe?
I'm going to do it at the end of June.
Okay.
The isolation take sounds awesome for a guy like Kevin or myself who's just ready to go, who's down for the game.
But
what about like someone like Lisa who eats a pot brownie and feels life exiting her immediately?
And says, call 911.
Calling 911.
It's much more relaxed than that. See, the problem with eating pot is people think of smoking pot and eating pot as the same thing, but it's a totally different psychoactive substance. There's a chemical called 11-hydroxymetabolite that your body produces when you eat marijuana. See, if you smoke it, you just smoke it, it goes in the blood, and that's normal. But this 11-hydroxymetabolite is my friend Todd McCormick is like this super genius pot designer. He makes pots and explains. And he explained this to me, that there's a thing called the one pass. And when you eat marijuana, it goes through your liver and your kidneys, and it produces 11-hydroxymetabolite, which is a way more potent psychedelic substance. That's why when you eat brownies, you go, oh, you can feel the earth breathing underneath you. And, you know,
the one pass effed her up.
Yeah,
it F's me up too, man.
It's dangerous.
I didn't like it at all.
They have breath strips. These little tiny pot breath strips that you get at the pharmacies. I gave you one of those, right?
I dropped it on the floor and I said...
How brutal was that?
You gave me enough warning.
It's brutal?
You said, don't eat the whole thing. And it's just a tiny little strip.
You like,
I smell like a fool cutting it.
Exactly. Like, come on, what am I, a little baby?
Yeah,
I can't
it's pretty trippy.
Half a breath strip?
It's
but,
pretty
man,
trippy.
Half a breath strip will put you on Pluto.
I don't think that sounds good to me.
For real.
I didn't even take half. I was just like scared because Joe, he smokes all the time and he told me it's going to F me up.
Yeah, the craziest thing is taking like a big breath strip. Like one time I took two and I went to the airport. And I sat in the airport, and I could literally hear every conversation around me, and all in their own little separate boxes. Like I had multiple windows open on my computer.
Yeah,
I was like listening to all the conversations at the exact same time. I'm like, whoa! I'm like, I might be the first dude to die from weed. I might ruin the whole cause.
That's right. But wouldn't it be great to be the first guy to die from weed?
I don't know.
I mean, no,
after 10,000 years. I mean, that's one of the most amazing things about it is that it's a Schedule I drug, and if you look at Schedule II drugs. Heroin is Schedule II. Yeah. So is cocaine. You know, I mean, that's insane.
It makes no sense. The
one drug that's never killed anybody ever. I mean, it literally can't kill you. You can't smoke enough to kill you. Cigarettes kill like 400,000 people a year, and no politicians ever talk about getting rid of cigarettes. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
They never
and
even
alcohol,
touch it.
Too.
They don't even touch cigarettes, though. Isn't that insane? At least alcohol feels good. You know, I like getting drunk. It's fun. You know, you get with your buddies, you have a couple of drinks.
Good message for the kids.
Listen,
it is fun.
Kids, just drink in moderation. Just don't be
exactly.
a douche.
That's all. Don't be a douche.
You know, and if you're a douche when you're drunk, right?
If you take one thing away from today's show, it's don't be a douche.
Don't be a douche. And one team, one dream. All right, listen,
we should have a t-shirt.
It's a good idea.
Don't be a douche.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Joe, you're always one of our most fascinating guests. We love having you in. You can UFC 83, Sarah versus St. Pierre 2, get it through your pay-per-view cable or Yahoo Sports. And, of course, JoeRogan.net if you want to find out more about the crazy tank that you can live in.
Thank you very much, man. I always love coming on your show. You guys are super cool.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Man. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What's going on, Ralph?
Here's good news for Rock Band fans.
Yes.
MTV has announced that on Friday it's going to start selling full albums that you can download and play when you're playing the Rock Band video game.
Oh, no kidding.
So they're going to sell you new songs for the game you have?
Yes.
That's cool.
The first title's coming next week from Judas Priest. Judas Priest Screaming for Vengeance, which is the album that contains their hit, You Got Another Thing Coming. Remember that song?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
9 other tracks. It'll cost $15. You download it, and then you can play it in your Rock Band video game.
Isn't it interesting? It's just the latest entertainment option that has become interactive. Music now is something that is not just to be sat down and listened to. Now you participate in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how they do that, though, because you see all those keys coming at you that show you when you're supposed to play and all that. I wonder how they put all that in there.
I don't know.
That's pretty cool. I like
that. The founder of Harmonix Studio, that's the people who make the game, said, our intention is to cover every bass, both in terms of era and every subgenre of rock. So you're going to get all kinds of songs from all kinds of different acts. Judas Priest, as I mentioned, is the first one.
Cool.
Then May, they will be releasing the self-titled debut album of The Cars. Remember the band The Cars from the 80s?
Sure.
Yeah.
A great band, The Cars.
Rick Ocasek.
Sure.
Yeah. And then in June, Doolittle from The Pixies will be released. So you'll be able to get entire albums of your favorite artists, and you can play in Rock Band.
That's pretty cool.
That is a great, great idea. I approve. I'm sure they were waiting for that.
They were, yeah.
Johnny Depp's been in the public eye for about 20 years, but he tells OK Magazine that the worst time of his life was when he was a teen idol starring on 21 Jump Street. Doesn't seem like a million years ago he was on 21
sure
Jump Street.
It's hard to remember that he was.
When
he was known
80s?
As sort of like a pretty boy model actor's kind of type on this bad cop show called 21 Jump Street.
Remember early about, 80s, Ralph?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was, remember it was about young-looking cops who go undercover in high schools to like
I do.
Bust kids doing drugs and stuff.
And that was the worst time of his life.
Yeah.
Huh.
He said,
and at the time, people thought that he was just a teen idol and this was his show that would be on for a year and then he would fade into obscurity.
He didn't want to make his career about taking his shirt off for teeny bopper magazines.
Hmm.
He said at one point he was so unhappy, he shaved his head and eyebrows
to look as ugly as he possibly could.
I do that. Gosh. I do that sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah, it gets old.
To get real ugly, you just shave your head and your eyebrows? God,
sometimes you have to ugly up.
You would look like the biggest hills have eyes zombie freak ever if you shaved your eyebrows and your head.
All right, let's try it.
I will give you $100 to shave your eyebrows and your head.
He did shave his head once.
I did in New Orleans.
I heard, but I never got a chance to see that.
Yeah, I was not.
He would look like a golem from Lord of the Rings if he was shaved.
You look like some weird science fiction creature. I just know.
You're saying I don't have to ugly up?
I'm just saying you look fine the way you are without hair and eyebrows. Freak.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I got you.
And Vince Vaughn recently celebrated his 38th birthday, but he wasn't alone, surprisingly.
Oh. Mm.
In Touch magazine says that he had an all-night poker party.
I bet he did.
Yeah. Poker. What was her name?
Poker in the front, liquor in the rear. That's what I heard about his party. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Do you see what I'm saying?
It's not really veiled, Ralph.
Poker in the front.
Poker in the front.
So they play poker out front.
Yes. Liquor in the rear.
And then they have drinks in the back.
Yes.
I don't think you guys know, man.
I don't think you do either. Girls reportedly hung all over him during the course of the all-night poker party.
Poor Vince.
And he left with two of them at the end of the night.
Poor
Vince.
Well,
that's our boy.
That's the life, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's 38. Look at him. Picture him. All right, you got him in your mind? Everybody visually? Okay.
Got him.
Now George Clooney is 10 years older than Vince Vaughn is.
Yeah. Wow.
They look about the same.
Yeah.
They
look about the same.
Yeah.
Vince could use some sleep, if that's what you're saying.
Maybe that's part of it.
He can use a little nap.
And maybe some time in Joe Rogan's isolation chamber. Maybe just a detox and kind of think about things for a while.
Slow down.
Slow down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, think about whether to sign that Fred Claus 2 contract or not. Today's celebrity birthdays. I've been giving you the wrong ages all morning, and I apologize.
Oh, good.
What happened?
Here's the thing. Dave, the King of Mexico, is now in charge of getting my birthday list.
Right.
And he's Mexican.
Yeah. but not really.
So what level of work are we expecting, really, from Dave?
Yeah.
Well, he's cheap. That's the important thing.
That's
Surrey's
true.
Surrey's 2, isn't she?
What's that?
Surrey 2.
Surrey is 2, yes.
Yeah.
Surrey, who I've been saying is 1 all day long, is actually 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
America Ferrera, who I've been saying is 23, is actually 24.
Oh, good.
All right, noted.
Kourtney Kardashian is, in fact, 29 years old.
Okay.
Melissa Joan Hart is 33.
Okay.
Maria Bello is 42. Mm. Conan O'Brien's 46. James Woods is 61. We've added some lists to the name as well.
How about that?
Or rather, some names to the list. He is 61. And Rick Moranis, one of my favorite comic actors of all time from Second City TV and from Ghostbusters and from Bob
Honey,
and Doug.
Bob
and Doug McKenzie, Strange Brew.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah, just a very, very funny, talented guy.
So Dave's no longer in charge of your birthdays? Is that what you're saying?
Rick Moranis is 55 years old today.
Ralph, that changes everything.
It does. Cause
I can't get it.
Did somebody order Mexican?
I did, and frankly, I've got indigestion. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, now it's time for the AFRO line. 323-520 AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day.
This goes out to Lisa May, the carpooler's lover. Nobody's zooming anywhere, Lisa. Every freaking traffic report you do, the carpool lane is blocked. The carpool lane is blocked. No one's going anywhere. The carpool lane is stupid, and so is that show.
Wow.
On the Good show, point. They zoom in the carpool lane.
There is no show.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
What's happening? This is Jay, dog. What's up? This Afro line? Yeah. I can comb my Afro with no pick. Yeah. Yaka Zulu!
Wow.
White guy.
Only thing we know for sure is that that's a white guy. Yeah,
always. Always. The people who try and call in and sound black are always white. Not sure why.
So there I am at the world premiere of Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay. Who do I see? But Psycho Mike in an orange jumpsuit. Yeah, he likes it in the...
Yeah,
what?
Psycho Mike and Omar hosted Harold and Kumar.
DJ Omar Khan.
Escape from Guantanamo Bay in jailbird outfits. The orange jail suit thing. So that guy is surmising that Mike's wearing that because he likes it that way.
Well,
likes
he's
it
surmising correctly. Yeah.
How was it last night, Mike? Was it awesome?
It was awesome, but not as awesome as Omar. Omar's magic, and he should host everything forever from now on.
Really?
He didn't embarrass
the station in
no,
any way, did he?
No, I mean this dead serious. The Grammys, the Oscars, Omar should host. He's the best.
DJ Omar Khan.
Magic.
Host the Oscars. I'm guessing that's not going to happen. But thank you.
Have you ever considered how frustrating it must be for the character of Eric talking on the phone to Omar and Cucamonga Heat, you know, during the double-cross phone call?
Yeah, Eric,
Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so...
I mean, you can't get a damn word in edgewise. This is probably what it sounds like on Erickson.
So I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right?
Hey, double-cross. Who? What? What? Now, let me... I don't... But... Why you talk?
DJ Omar Khan.
Search for Cucamonga Heat on YouTube and you'll see maybe the worst movie ever.
Possibly, yes.
Maybe the best movie ever.
Screw you guys. I hate you. I hate you all. Die, die, die. Go to hell. How great is male ass?
Yeah, it gets stuck in your head, doesn't it?
How great is male ass?
Your favorite song.
Just that part. That's the whole thing right there. That's plenty.
Goddamn.
We had a listener complain the other day that she was very offended that we were taking the Lord's name in vain by using the phrase goddamn, and I think that must be what that caller is referring to.
I'm guessing she's...
Although you're not actually damning God, of course. You're asking God to damn something else that you don't like. So it's not really an affront to God as much as it is just trying to get him to have your back.
Right.
Okay, thanks for that in-depth explanation. Bean talks a lot about food, and for some reason his favorite food is the pot pie.
Pot pie? We got a pot pie call?
I'm sorry, I don't agree with Bean on most subjects, but pot pies are awesome.
Best food ever. You're absolutely right, sir.
I sent you a text-to-landline message. Pot pies? Pot freaking pies? Are you kidding me? What an a-hole.
Oh, come on. She is the star of Zombie Strippers. Actress Jenna Jameson joins us in just a few moments. And I think, Ralph, that's one of the movies you'll be reviewing on this week's Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
There are 6 new movies in theaters this weekend that you may want to check out. A few are in limited release. Some are in wide release. Let's take a look at some of the smaller ones first, shall we? A new documentary from Morgan Spurlock, the man who brought you Super Size Me, is Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden?
This looks funny.
Yeah.
He actually goes looking. He doesn't just...
It's more than anybody else has done.
He actually goes there and looks.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of ugly American comedy. Like, what am I doing? Oh, I'm a goofball. Oh, you people are so strange to me because I'm American.
I haven't seen that much.
Nope. I haven't seen anything on it. It's just that we already know how it ends. So what's the point of going to see it?
He finds him. Yeah. Yes.
So weird.
I doubt that.
Brings him to justice.
We just haven't heard about it yet.
We just haven't called. They're waiting for the release of the film.
He's a bounty hunter.
Also opening this weekend is The Life Before Her Eyes, Uma Thurman, Evan Rachel Wood, and other people are in this movie.
I haven't heard of this one.
It's a drama, kind of a thriller, about Uma Thurman's character, who is a wife and mother, whose life begins to fall apart when she recalls a tragic event that claimed the life of her best friend when she was about 15 years old.
So it's comedy?
Yeah, it's a good time.
All right.
It's the follow-up from the same guy who brought you The House of Sand and Fog. Did you ever see that movie?
Great movie.
I did.
Great movie.
Jesus.
No, I didn't see that.
Great.
Why do you say that? Not good?
It's just relentlessly depressing.
It's
down. Bean loves down.
Of course Bean does.
Of course
Bean does. Of course Bean would just, it's great.
It was great. Ben Kingsley was amazing in it. Didn't Jennifer Connelly get nominated for an Oscar for her role in that?
Relentlessly
dreary. Terrific movie, though.
Just you can't just take your own life. Yeah,
Bean rolls around dreary.
I'm not saying it's not sad. It's just, it's a great script, great actors. It's just very, very well done. That's all.
Just consider the source.
I got
you. That's all I'm saying.
No worries.
Let's get to the real movies that are opening up this weekend, shall we? Zombie Strippers.
That's what I'm talking about.
Jenna Jameson stars in this film about some sort of, I don't know, government germ that gets out and starts turning people into zombies. But
yes.
It primarily focuses on women because of the Y chromosome. Or the X. I forget which one they have more of than we don't.
I think they're Y.
I think they are Y, yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, it turns all the strippers into zombies. That's all you really need to know.
Come on.
Hey, that could happen, man.
That's
you don't
a good
know.
Zombie movie
you don't
right
know.
There. It's been a while since we had a good zombie movie.
Yeah, I think Shaun of the Dead was the last one I really enjoyed. Here is a scene from Zombie Strippers where the strip club owner starts to realize what's going on with his girls.
See if I've got this straight. Our best stripper is a reanimated corpse who is feeding off the living flesh of our customers, who in turn reanimate, even if they're just a hand.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's Robert Englund, by the way, who plays the
strip club owner.
Strip club owner. He, of course, Freddy from all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
You do not want
your stripper. Reanimated head. You're just a head, and you're still looking at strippers. That's who I'd be if I was a zombie. Even if I was just a head, I'd still be right there at the rail with a single in my mouth.
I don't have a lap, but I'll...
Here's your tip.
I'll be close.
That's where I'd be.
We were discussing earlier, Ralph, and maybe you're more of a zombie expert than we are, but when you become a zombie, you gradually, your flesh starts to fall off and you decay. It's not like they flip a switch and you overnight become a living dead, right?
Listen, no, it's not how it works.
We don't remember.
Okay. You got to die to be a zombie. A zombie is a reanimated corpse, so you're already in a state of decay. And when you wake,
when you come back,
you're a decayed corpse at that point.
Okay. But we were trying to decide whether there could be hot zombie strippers, or once they become zombies, is it impossible? Them are they too far gone to be hot?
How long have they been dead?
Don't know.
We don't know.
I bet,
if it's a fresh corpse, then she's probably looking pretty good.
We're gonna have to ask Jenna Jameson.
We're gonna have.
Okay, that's what we'll do then.
Forbidden Kingdom also opens today. Jackie Chan, Jet Li.
Hey!
This looks awesome. A kung fu obsessed American teenager gets transported back into ancient China, where he has to join up with a band of martial arts warriors to free an imprisoned king. I could do without the American teenager.
Me too. That's the part that bugs me too.
I don't need time travel from suburbia back to him with his magic stick, and somehow he has to be taught how to be a kung fu artist.
Yeah, that bugs me a bit.
I just want Jackie Chan and Jet Li just to kick some ass together.
Yeah.
But I might have to suffer through that in order to get to the good stuff. Here's a scene from Forbidden Kingdom that I get a sense pretty much sums up the whole film. That's what I'm talking about.
If that summarizes the whole film, I'm in.
Well, I think there's a lot of that.
Good.
Looks to be some excellent choreography. And, you know, you got Jackie Chan and Jet Li, two really, not two of, probably the two greatest martial art movie makers working today. So you got both of those guys.
And I know Jackie Chan can seem cheesy and kind of like he's goofy. His stunt work is amazing.
Remarkable. The guy's in his 40s, and he's still just an incredible athlete above and beyond everything else. 88 Minutes opens today as well, starring my old buddy Al Pacino. Al and I did star together in Two for the Money.
And by star, you mean he was the star.
Right. As was I.
Right.
In the background a lot of the time. I was the star of the background of Two for the
Money. He did. He walked by you a couple times.
Several times.
That happened.
And I sometimes I'd be behind Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Well, it depends who I was working with that day, who I would be behind in this film.
Sure.
Al remembers me fondly, though, because you remember, did you see him on Letterman this week?
No, I did not see that.
I was very proud to see he brought my name up.
Do you see young actors that you are admiring?
Oh, sure. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, there's this one guy I worked with in Two for the Money named Ralph Garman. Hoo-ah! Boy, is that kid talented. He's the whole package, Dave. Talent. Looks. Quite an amazing fella. Damn, he's good, Dave. He's good.
So
Al Pacino said all that about you on the Letterman show.
Someone noticed me in the background.
That sounded a little edited. Just a little.
Kevin,
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
Just a little edited. Do an Al Pacino voice, don't you?
No. Right. I don't do voices.
Right. Come on, Ralph. Don't embarrass me.
Here's a scene from 88 Minutes. Al Pacino plays a college professor who also is a famous forensic psychiatrist and often testifies on behalf of the FBI and police agencies. And he may have sent the wrong man to prison for a crime that he did not commit. And that may make that dude angry.
You think?
Yeah. Because it turns out the guy is in jail. He's about to be, he's on death row. And a murder is committed exactly in the same style that this guy did.
Ew.
So is this a copycat killer, or is the real killer still out there and this guy's been falsely accused? Well, to make matters worse, someone is threatening Pacino's life, telling him he only has 88 minutes to live. So Pacino has to try to figure out who is threatening him and what is the case of this guy who is on death row. Here is a scene where Pacino's discussing the possibility of the innocence of the man he sent to jail.
How great is male ass?
I'm sorry, that's not the clip. No, it's not. Here's the clip.
Is it possible Forrester is innocent?
No.
You won't even consider the possibility?
Nope.
But you're completely convinced the scenario you put together is the only one.
First of all, I didn't put together a scenario. I recreated a crime scene. Second, I didn't convict Forrester. The jury did.
But the evidence was circumstantial. Nothing directly linking Forrester to the crime except your narrative and Janie Kate's testimony.
What's your point?
Is that your testimony was very convincing.
That's my job.
Ooh, how good is he?
He's great.
He's the best.
This movie's getting slammed by,
is it?
By critics. Slammed. But I don't care because
I don't either.
I've seen him in a lot worse movies than this. He is always.
You started with him in a lot worse movies than this.
How dare you?
Yeah!
I stand by too.
Touche.
Yeah, so I'm going. Because he's the best.
Yeah, that looks
he's like Gene Hackman. He's like a lot of actors who just can show up in any film and you're endlessly entertained by watching them work.
Yeah, he makes every movie better, too, by being in it. He really does.
And lastly, Forgetting Sarah Marshall comes out today. This is the movie. This is the one.
Yeah.
Peter Siegel, who we had on the show yesterday, such a nice guy.
Yeah, very cool. He knows Jason Siegel, too, right?
He did.
I'm sorry.
Jason.
Who did I say?
Peter
Siegel. Who's Peter Siegel?
We don't know. But he was in yesterday, apparently.
Maybe he was. Russell Brand, Kristen Bell, great cast. Mila Kunis. You know the story by now. Oh, Peter is his role, his name in the movie.
That's
where I got confused. Jason Siegel plays Peter, who gets broken up with Sarah Marshall, who's a up-and-coming TV star who starts dating one of the biggest rock stars in the world. And Jason Siegel is just crushed by this and accidentally stumbles upon her in Hawaii where they're all on vacation. And wackiness ensues. Here is a scene where Jason Siegel and Russell Brand are talking about a movie that Sarah Marshall, played by Kristen Bell, made about a cell phone killer.
Okay,
here we go.
Wait, so when's the movie coming out?
It came out. Did you like it?
It was...
awful, bloody film. I see, it's just ridiculous. Premise, what would happen if your mobile phone killed you? Why would a mobile phone kill anyone? Doesn't make sense. Like, how can a mobile phone have an agenda and kill people?
I told her that when she read the script.
Yeah, you were the voice of reason, mate.
Like, I tried to be, but she didn't listen. What?
Going around killing people on a mobile phone, like doing murders.
Why couldn't you just take the battery out of the phone?
Right, that's it. The battle's over.
Yeah, we've won.
I hated it.
She's like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, Russell Brand, if you don't know him, is a British comedian who just is painfully funny. He's one of my favorites. So I can't wait to check out Forgetting Sarah Marshall this weekend. Maybe in a double feature with 88 Minutes.
There you go.
And I might go and just rent two for the money.
Yeah, no.
Just to relive
those
good old days. And I recommend you do the same. In fact, buy it. Buy a couple copies of two for the money.
I don't think it's available.
Because daddy needs a new pair of shoes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Today at the New Art, maybe the best movie ever.
In this small Nebraska town, a secret government project has gotten out of control. And a deadly virus has been unleashed.
The virus is based on the human X chromosome, so it stays more pure from woman to woman.
Into the city's hottest nightclub.
This is Jesse.
So tonight, when the sun goes down, things really start to heat up. Now, every man's fantasy is about to become...
What seems to be the problem, Doc?
Believe it or not, zombies.
Their worst nightmare.
Yeah. Look, I would be going to see this movie even if our friend Jenna Jameson were not in it, but the fact that she is makes it all the better. Jenna, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show at K-Rock, my dear.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so good.
This is it, man. This is the movie the world has been waiting for, Jenna.
I'm telling you, it's so fantastic. You
guys zombie really strippers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I know my audience, baby.
Bean saw this first, and he was like, you guys, you're never going to believe this. There's a movie about strippers that are zombies. And we were like, you're kidding. And Jenna's in it. You're kidding.
Well, listen, Jenna, I don't know how much you follow the zombies, how much you are aware of the zombies, but our audience, for some reason, and this has been shocking to us, every time we talk about zombies on this program, I'm not kidding you, we get people who call us and email us who are legitimately afraid of a zombie invasion. Am I lying, Kevin, if I tell Jenna that there are listeners who have an evacuation plan to get out in the event that the zombies come to fight?
They have an escape route.
And
this
movie is going to scare the hell out of them.
And Jenna, not only do they have an escape route, but they have a plan B and a plan C in case it doesn't work out. Now, we have many questions about this. And the first is, if you're a zombie, isn't your skin already decaying by the time you come back to life? So how are you a stripper?
In this movie, you kind of come back really quickly, so the decaying process takes a little while. So I had to, like, work out the rigor mortis. After that, I was able to actually get up on stage and strip.
And you looked like a human being, except for the guys didn't know you're a zombie.
Well, I mean, kind of close to a human being. I, like, had black eyes and, you know, after a while, I started to fall apart.
Well, as all zombies should.
Right.
Exactly.
So what is it that kills you and the other girls? It's just some sort of a bug that's going around?
It's the government project gone awry.
Yeah, it's set in the future, and, a medical thing goes awry, and it ends up infecting one of the army guys who ends up in a strip club, an illegal strip club, and he tackles me off stage and rips my throat out.
Ooh. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good time.
Wow.
So you die, and then when you come back, I have a clip of a woman that's not so happy you came back.
No. Hold on. You're dead.
I was. But now I'm back.
Yes.
Come on.
Now I'm back and I'm ready to strip some more.
Yeah.
How pissed is Quentin Tarantino that he didn't write this movie? Oh my God, he's
he should have had me in Grindhouse from the get-go,
yep.
But, you know, he missed the meal ticket.
Now, how do you as a zombie kill people? Do you bite them? Do you?
The best. My first victim, I pull him off stage and take him back in the VIP room, and I give him a lap dance. And mm-hmm. He's like, wow, your hands are cold. You know, you've got to see this scene. It's pretty funny, but it culminates with me biting off his hoo-ha.
Oh, no.
Right now. That's fantastic.
All
that's
right.
Awesome.
I always need to do that.
They really wouldn't work in one of your movies because it's just not sexy, right? Now, Jenna, do the zombie strippers, they eventually leave the club and go wreak havoc in town, or does all the action take place in the strip club?
It all takes place in the strip club, but you got to watch the movie because there may end up being a sequel.
Oh,
okay.
So someone... Okay. Oh, that's not good. You don't need to be spreading zombie strippers to other cities.
Oh, hey, we all love zombie strippers, baby.
Zombie Strippers is the name of the movie. It's at the New Art today, and this weekend, of course. And is there a plan to open it more widely?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're just trying to get the word out there.
So are we.
It's going to end up being a cult film, for sure. It's like along the lines of like Evil Dead 2 and, you know, like the Quentin Tarantino movies, you know. So, you guys are going to love it. Everybody's going to love it because it's not just like a TNA movie or a horror movie. It's kind of like a dark comedy, and it's got political undertones. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, and I got to ask you about that. If you're just joining us, Jenna Jameson is on the line. Of course, we're talking about the great Zombie Strippers movie opening today at the New Art in Santa Monica. I saw you on The View, and by the way, it was awesome to see you on The View yesterday because I know how miserable it must have made Elizabeth Hasselbeck that you were there.
That's part of the reason why I did it.
I'm sure it is, yeah. You just knew she was just fuming on the inside that you even exist.
Oh, she wanted to choke my life away.
Well, you couldn't, couldn't think that audience wanted to see zombie strippers.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, you know? That they had me on for zombie strippers. I was actually really shocked that they invited me on.
Yeah.
But I mean, I got on there and they were all like incredibly accepting and, you know, I just did my thing, you know, but it's funny because I watched it back and whenever I would turn to talk to another girl, one of them would like just hit me with murderous daggers.
Oh, nice.
No, it was very funny. And by the way, Jenna, as you have properly said many times over the years, you've got nothing to be embarrassed about. It's Whoopi Goldberg who's got stuff in her career to be embarrassed about, all right? You're fine.
I love Whoopi. She was the best. she was the sweetest.
Well, we'll disagree on that. But here's what I wanted to ask you about, because you said, and you just made a reference to it here, that there's political undertones to this movie. Why does there have to be political undertones when you've got a zombie stripper? Screw Bush, screw the war, screw everything. Why does that have any place in this movie?
Well, you know, I think the director, Jay Lee, had a lot of, like, massive problems with what's been going on in the country the past 4 or 5 years.
Right.
So he just kind of vented through this movie, but he vented in a really funny way. So, I mean, it's kind of ironic when you hear, like, a stripper quoting Nietzsche. It's
yeah.
just really silly.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of things in there that are just so ridiculous and outlandish that it makes for a funny movie.
Okay. Well, it sounds a perfect. You know us. You know we'll love it. Our audience is going to love it because we know them. Zombie Strippers is so far only playing at the New Art on Santa Monica in L.A. starting today. You've got to go see it. And then, Jenna, hopefully we'll get good news from this weekend's box office around the country, and then we'll get a chance to get this thing out there a little wider.
Yeah, how cool would that be if I had, like, the number one movie in America?
It'd be the best.
It'd be the best.
It'd be the best.
So cool.
All right, Jenna, listen, have a great weekend. We love you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I love you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jenna. Bye. Thank you, Lisa. 8:54 now. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Or not.
And now here's Ralph.
You okay?
I'm just angry.
What? What are you mad about?
What's wrong? I just got handed a news story here.
Uh-oh.
Where Orange County has just shut down Club Amnesty, which was a swingers sex joint down there in Orange City, in Orange.
Uh-huh.
I heard about
zombies?
It.
Zombies? Is that why?
No zombies. No, it's just...
Oh. Zombie
just,
swingers?
Just the government hates sex. Just it says that they don't have the proper business license.
Apparently the OC Weekly did a big story on it, and that's kind of what alerted authorities.
The minute something gets attention like that, the city has to go in and shut them down because you can't have adults having sex with each other.
That's
horrible.
But they're consenting adults, Ralph, and no one gets hurt. And that should be illegal.
Tell them that.
So you can see why they'd have to shut them down.
Yeah.
Right.
So
people are having fun. Can't have fun.
This happened to L.A. couples, the place downtown here in Los Angeles, and now this place. And it's just the criminalization of sex makes me angry.
Hmm.
I agree.
Oh, we'll cover it next week on Sex U.
Yes.
I'll talk more about it then.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Godzilla.
Oh, hi.
What's
going on?
What just happened?
What's with you? Sorry, go ahead.
Apparently, Subway is in trouble. Have you seen those commercials for the 12 inches for the foot long?
No, I haven't.
No.
You haven't?
No.
Would you like to see 12 inches?
Yeah. That's what she said?
Really. Picture of Subway right here.
But I've been thinking about meat all day long.
Foot long sandwich. Anyway, they've got a new promotion. It's like $5 for 12 inches.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Which is a pretty good deal, by the way.
Sure. So.
Santa Monica Boulevard, it's like $50.
Lisa really thinks so.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Anyway, they're selling their foot long subs for $5 as a promotion. And they've got one of their commercials where Godzilla's like stamping on buildings and stuff. Maybe it's like that cheesy rubber suit monster movie
right.
stuff. And he holds his hands up and says, you know, he wants 12 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the people that own Godzilla are not pleased.
They're very unhappy
with
that.
Are they not paid in any way?
Well, it's not exactly Godzilla, but it is sort of a rubber lizard monster, you know. And they say they own that image and that Godzilla was used without their permission. And now they're suing Subway to get him off of television.
And Godzilla never ate sandwiches.
Exactly.
That's kind of legitimate, though, if they're trying to make it look like it's endorsed by Godzilla. I can understand that they got a right to that.
But it's just, you see like a, you know, a football coach on the sidelines. He's making gestures into the huddle. And they think it's, you know, it's a play, but it's really him asking for a sub. It's just, it's a part of a quick montage in the commercials.
Yeah, I got you.
I mean, it's really not hurting anybody. I don't think people.
I like meat.
So, yeah. So they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Mothra and Rodan, by the way, have also filed a suit. I don't know why, but it's just because there are other monsters. The Cirque du Soleil show starring Chris Angel in Las Vegas.
What?
Didn't you know he's doing his own Cirque du Soleil show? Yeah, he's doing a big show at the Luxor there. Chris Angel, or Chris Sarantakis, as we call him around here, because
right.
that's his real name.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
They built him his own theater at the Luxor.
Yeah.
A $100 million production will begin on September the 1st. It's been announced today. They've also released the name of the show. They've been banding about names for a while, trying to find just the right one. And they've come
Can
up
I guess?
With this one.
Sure. Can I guess? This yeah. is the name of the show.
Okay.
Don't be a sucker.
Don't be a... Chris Angel, don't be a sucker. Now
like
at the
it.
Luxor. They also passed on the idea of...
as a name. Apparently no one could figure out quite how to spell it to put it on the marquee.
Yeah!
So instead, they've come up with Chris Angel Believe.
Wow.
Yeah. Chris and the Cirque du Soleil folks have been in works on this for some time now. And
Believe.
September 1st, you can see Chris Angel Believe.
Or not.
Shaka Zulu!
That's what they should have called it. Chris Angel Shaka Zulu.
Sure.
That would be good times. Kate Hudson has a new best friend, Anne Hathaway. That's a twosome right there. Apparently, the two became close while filming Bride Wars, a new film that they're working on, and they've been inseparable ever since. They've been known to share long, intimate lunches together, say friends.
That's so hot.
Yeah.
Hot ones?
Long, intimate lunches.
They are gay, 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 are gay, 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 oh so gay, 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 they like men,
no,
and
no.
They're gay.
No, no, actually, no. They don't like this. Wrong cut, sorry.
That's the wrong one.
I think during these long, intimate lunches, they go into Subway for 12 inches.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. I hope so.
Yeah.
Whole wheat, you know what I'm saying?
It ain't natural!
I don't know what you're saying at all.
You can order your sandwich that way.
Oh, okay.
All right, you got to be cool and eat fruit.
I will. David Hasselhoff, his divorce from his wife is final.
Yeah.
And the TV tabloid show Access Hollywood obtained a copy of the settlement papers so we could see who gets what.
Great.
David's wife gets the 2006 Mercedes CLS 500. She also gets the Lincoln Navigator, her mother's paintings, her Sports Illustrated photo shoot, an autographed photo of Michael Jackson, and more importantly, half of all David's retirement funds. Mm-hmm. In addition, she gets $21,000 a month in support.
A month.
A month. Another $5,000 a month for child support for their two children. And that's about it. Here's what Dave gets. He gets the French maid from the Encino family residence.
What?
Well done.
Nice. He gets a person?
I didn't know they could do that.
That was illegal.
He gets,
that's pretty cool.
He gets the antique barber chair.
Good.
From the Encino house. All of his Ted Williams baseball paraphernalia.
Yeah.
He gets the free weights
from
the Encino house, which is good.
Okay, sure.
He gets the green elephant located in the African room of the house.
The green elephant from the African room.
Also from the African room, he gets the dolphin, which apparently was very important for Dave to get down on paper. He gets a 1993 Mercedes, but most importantly, he gets to keep the rights to the Hoff, Malibu Dave, and Don't Hassle the Hoff.
Malibu Dave?
Well, I found out since I reported this morning that Malibu Dave is the name of his fashion line.
What fashion
line? Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
Hasselhoff has his own clothing line, and it is called Malibu Dave.
It's awesome. Out now?
Apparently, Lisa. I think you can find it in better stalls along Venice Beach everywhere. Apparently, you can pick up some Malibu Dave wear.
Does he own the rights to this?
This is a mess.
Oddly enough, no.
He doesn't get that?
He should have. Oh, he should have. You should have got a copyright on that, more so than Malibu Dave.
Yeah.
I'd love to see this house before they tear it up with the stuffed dolphin and the elephant
the
and everything.
African room? Yeah. That would be good times.
Crazy.
Hey, what are you wearing there? That's a nice shirt. Is that an Armani? What is it? No. Malibu Dave. Wow, that's nice.
Classy name.
I got to get one of those.
Some of those myself.
Just a picture of his head. On the
winking.
Shirt.
Like in the eyes odd, you know, where the alligator goes on the polo shirt. Just Dave giving a big wink.
The awesome
Malibu
drink.
Dave. Today's celebrity birthdays. Suri Cruz is 2 years old today. Happy birthday to the heir to the Scientology empire. America Ferrara from Ugly Betty is 24 years old today. Kourtney Kardashian, who we have ascertained is actually the smaller, cute Kardashian, as opposed to buxom Kim. And then China Kardashian, the other sister, the big burly one.
It's weird. It's like the Baldwin brothers. They're all pretty good looking, except for there's one who's just so homely and hobbit-like.
Yeah, but even the homely hobbit-like one, you can see the face of the family in there.
Right, somewhere. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And same with the Baldwins. Even the ugly Baldwins, you can see sort of the Baldwin features. They just didn't line up properly.
Right.
And China's got the same problem.
Yeah, you got your whole life. You have to be going, how did this happen? Why was I cheated?
Yeah.
Well, why don't I look like my sisters? I don't understand it. I work at the clothing store too. Why aren't I petite and attractive?
That sucks. I don't know. Maybe because you eat whole key lime pies for breakfast. It wouldn't kill her to have a salad once in a while. Take a walk.
You know, that would help.
Go on a run with Bruce Jenner in the morning or something. Your stepdad's like the world's greatest athlete. Maybe he can put you in a program.
Yeah.
But they should take his gold medals away if you've seen that show, right? I mean, clearly.
They should give him more medals. Are you kidding me? Look what he has to live with.
He's no longer a man, though, is what I'm saying.
They have his balls.
Those three dingbats and the old lady, and he has to live there every day with them.
Yeah, he's making poor choices.
He's making very poor choices.
By the way, I'm working on bringing Dingbat back.
Dingbat! Yeah. Okay, good luck with that.
Not since Archie Bunker in 1973 was up in use.
Dingbat.
Melissa Joan Hart's 33 years old today. Maria Bello is 42. Conan O'Brien turns 46. Rick Moranis is 55 years old. And James Woods. When we get new sharks, by the way. I miss shark. I want
That's
more
a good
sharks.
Show.
It's been a long time.
I like that show.
In the African room, you can get some sharks. They're right next to the dolphin. James Woods is 61 years old today. His girlfriend?
8. I don't think she's 8.
Well, she's young.
A little older.
That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to the very first of a long line of winners over the weekend here on KROQ of STP tickets for the Hollywood Bowl show. And then in Las Vegas, too. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. It's Kathy Dow from Cyprus. If you haven't heard, you think there's some sort of a time tunnel travel happening here? Like STP? What are you talking about with STP playing? That's not happening. Guess what?
Turns out that is happening.
It is happening. They are back together, bigger and better than ever before, and we're so delighted to welcome our old friend, Mr. Scott Weiland, back to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous KROQ. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, how are you guys?
Well, we're always happy to hear your voice. How are you feeling, my friend?
Excellent, except for the fact that, on the nights that I don't have, to wake up. I have certain mornings I have to wake up early and certain mornings that I do have to wake up early.
Right.
And this was on the schedule as a sleep-in day.
Yes.
So
you're very happy.
I'm extremely happy. I'm always happy to talk to you guys. So.
Well, Scott, we got so many questions for you. Of course, we packed the Houdini house the other night for your STP coming out reunion gig. And what was that like for y'all to be playing together for the first time in what, like 5 years?
It was really cool. When we went into rehearsal, it was a really strange kind of vibe. With this band, it's not just the musical connection that we have. There's a sense of humor that that we all share. A group of kids that have grown up together, since you were really young, which in a sense we have since we were teenagers. I mean,
right.
Then you have two brothers that obviously grow together as children. We really were kids when we formed, the band. It was like that sense of humor was back. It was strange just, hearing that patter, between members again. With Velvet Revolver, we would do each other's songs, because the fans wanted to hear that.
Right.
But to hear the songs done properly, the way that they were written by the players who wrote the songs.
Right.
I don't mean out of disrespect for, the other band, but, bands interpret songs differently, but to hear the songs played properly the way that they were written, it was amazing.
Musically, was it difficult or did it just seem like old times when you started again?
It really kind of was just getting on a bike or it was more like this. This is what I said. I said, when you have your first love and every once in a while you get that opportunity to sort of, hook up with that, or you run into that girl again.
Right.
And you set up a date and, and there's that that first kiss after a long time, and sometimes it is magical, and sometimes you kind of want to pay the bill and get the hell out of there.
Right.
And it really was magical. It felt right. It just was the right thing. And you know what? This was not a forced reunion. And, you know, there were a lot of people that tried to make this happen, threw money at us for a lot of years, you know, and,
right.
But this happened very organically. Dean sort of gave me a call while I was on the road with Velvet Revolver and said, hey, our agent, Brannigan's just called me and said, that there were some festivals that he was talking about that might be available, I have my ethics and my morals, but I also money does play a picture into it as
sure.
well.
Sure,
and,
of course,
and it looked very interesting to look at. And so after investigating the whole thing, it looked like it could be a lot of fun, a lot of work. But and so eventually I went and told, Slash about it. You know, he and I kind of were the policy makers in the Velvets. And,
right.
And everything was cool at that point, but then we decided to move forward and book this tour.
Right, 65 dates. And by the way, if you're just joining us, that's Scott Weiland you're hearing on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're talking about the reunited STP Hollywood Bowl on Tuesday, June 24th. And then, of course, the 65-date tour that we're talking about here, including Vegas, where we've been sending listeners to go, too. You were always on, even when you guys broke up, Scott. The impression I got from you when we'd run into some of the other guys at various events over the years, you guys were always still on pretty good terms. It's not like you hated each other's guts and didn't talk for a year or anything like that. I mean, it's always been pretty friendly, right, with you and the other STP guys.
Yeah, I mean, we needed to get past. There was the first year was a little brutal. I mean, the last show that we had, got to a boiling point, and it ended in a near fist fight between Dean and I, and this friend of ours who goes on the road with us, sort of as a minder, mm-hmm. I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And really close friends with us, still very close friends with me. He saved, both Dean and I from, probably ruining our friendship because we threw a punch at each other at the same time. And this was in the dressing room, he got in between us, and it would have been ugly. But what ended up happening was, at the same time that I went into rehab, at the time that I had kicked heroin, my heroin habit, and it's still been 5 years since I've done heroin. I've done quite a bit of drinking through various binges, like after my brother died and some personal issues. Life kind of comes sometimes and kicks you in the ass, but Dean actually right around the same time he went and got sober. And, which was a surprise to me because, I mean, Dean and I were always kind of like Keith and Mick, on certain tours only, he was my party buddy, on certain tours we would be, raising hell and then I'd get home and, the party continue And you know, it seemed to me that for him the party'd stop, and you know, the next tour would come, and all of a sudden, you know, we were just doing this and that just a month and a half ago. But so we've made a lot of amends to each other, you know, where there were times when I was always sort of made to be the scapegoat. On a personal level, you know, we've learned a lot about each other as a band, and I think him going through his own, you know, self-discovery, and getting clean, has really helped this band, you know, Stone Temple Pilots, you know, find out, you know, who it is and really who it was. It's a lot more fun to be involved, you know, involved with, when you're not, you know, sort of the identified, not only the identified creative force, but at the identified screw up at the same time.
Right.
Exactly. So, recapping then, because we're almost out of time, Scott, recapping, the band is healthy, the band is happy, the band is glad to be doing this, the band has big plans, a lot of shows, talking even about making another record. It sounds like this is not a one-off for the summer. It sounds like, as far as you're concerned, STP is back.
Yeah, you know, well, that's the idea. I mean, you know, when we ended, we felt like the story wasn't told, you know, completely. And then this tour happened, you know. I always sort of envisioned that it would be a record that we made that you know, like put the final bookend to the story. But this tour happened first, so. You know, which is great, because I've run into so many young people, you know, all these little, you know, indie kids, who are into STP. And, yeah, and it's funny because I've heard us, you know, referred to as, you guys are like smart rock. And, you know, I don't even pay attention to what, you know, sort of terms get thrown around anymore, but, you know, it's cool to sort of, be a band that is, you know, I guess, you know, really, you know, the legacy has grown as we've been apart, and to be able to go out and play these songs, all the hits that we've, you know, written, you know, is going to be really exciting. Now, to parlay that into, another album, you know, that's very exciting to us. I mean, you know, I know you guys really well. You know that the most exciting thing for me, really is the creative process, going in and writing new songs and then recording them, you know, and
are you going to start that? Are you going to start that process on the road?
Yeah. I mean, Robert and Dean, those guys are, you know, they're always writing new songs. You know, they're always sitting there with their acoustic guitars, and you know what seems. But this is the interesting thing. What seems like a jazz song, what seems like something that may be written for Burt Bacharach,
right?
Which I thought Plush was,
right?
You know, at the time. Well, when the amps get turned on, and then the Les Paul gets strapped on in favor of the, you know, the acoustic,
right.
It suddenly, those jazz songs with those chordings become rock songs that just have that, that STP sound. And I think that's one thing that sort of set us apart from, you know, our other contemporaries. So yeah, those guys have been writing a lot of songs, and you know, I really look forward to the next, you know, to getting into the studio and making another record. We definitely want to do things different. We just recorded the show we did up at the Houdini Mansion, we want to try to put out like a box set and try to get free from our old record company. You know, we want to sort of do things our own way, and you know, because that's the way to do things these days.
I got you.
You know?
Yeah. All right, listen, Scotty, we're out of time. We love you. We're delighted with all this big news. We never saw this coming. You know, we didn't know this was going to be the time, but it's great news, and obviously people are very, very excited about it. And the best news of all for you is now you can go back to sleep. You're done.
Exactly. except for the fact that my assistant came over and brought me over a giant Starbucks. So.
Oh, well, you're up for the day.
Now you're screwed. Yeah. Well, yeah, Scott, I hope we see you sometime soon over the summer. We always love catching up with you, dude.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And the show at the Hollywood Bowl is June 24th. Tickets for that go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And all weekend long, we're going to give you tickets to that. Plus, you get on a plane to see the band STP at the Pearl Theater at the Palms Resort. Scott, thanks very much for coming on the show this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Let's get Scott Weiland back on. Come on, there's some stuff he didn't get a chance to say.
He's still talking.
It's going to be a good show, by the way.
1-800-520-1067. You get a Kevin Amin What It Do Nephew t-shirt just for being on the air with us. What do we have time for here today?
Well, let's start with Evan in Irvine, because I don't believe him. Evan, good morning.
What's up?
What it do?
Not much, man. I heard you guys talking about the powdered sugar record before.
Powdered donuts, yep.
Powdered donut record. I actually, my bosses took it pretty seriously and brought in about 85 boxes of Vandekamp's powdered sugar donuts. Mm-hmm. And I worked down in Irvine at a mortgage company. We spent a whole Friday trying to beat the record. I ended up doing 7 in about 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Nope.
7 donuts in 2:40.
I kid you not. What? I actually have the Guinness World Record paperwork in my hand right now.
Wow. You mean you have the Guinness World Record? You beat Big Black?
I mean that I beat it, and then there's a guy coming out to verify in about 4 to 6 weeks.
So he's got to enter his name into the competition.
It was a huge pain. I've been working on this for about 2 months now. I finally got my paperwork back yesterday.
Oh, I see. To get the record, you mean.
It is a nightmare to get into the book, that's for sure.
Oh, we know that.
We faced that firsthand.
What's the secret? I know you can't lick your lips, but what's the secret to eating powdered donuts fast?
The secret is, if I tell you the secret, some skinny Asian kid's probably going to crush my record.
Yeah, that's true.
Ah, sure. Because it's going to happen anyway.
But, I mean, yeah, it's going to happen. The only thing keeping somebody from breaking it is the fact that you got to fax 95 things to London before they'll talk to you.
All right, now I believe him.
Evan, do you have a video of this?
We took still photos, and the reason they're actually having to come out and do it is because they need signed affidavits and they have to see a video. They said the stills are not enough.
Right, sure.
So what are you going to do?
He's going to have to do it again.
You don't have video.
Well, my boss has got this dream to meet Jillian Barbary, so he's trying to get the local news and everybody else out here to take a look. So I'm going to end up having to do it again anyway. So we're going to try and get some awareness for it and try.
When
to get
did
it
you
on
guys
video.
Stop doing the mortgage work?
Well,
there's nothing going on in the mortgage industry, Kevin.
Everyone's in foreclosure. They got nothing to do.
That's exactly.
If Evan can do it, by the way, if he shoots video, I think I speak for the room when I say we'll be happy to put that up at direct.com.
People do it on our show.
Absolutely.
I think I'll be able to do 8. I stopped at 7 with about 20 seconds left because I felt like I was going to throw up. So I think I can do 8, maybe not.
Our guy Beer Mug this morning got through 1.5. What do you think of that?
Why don't we bring him in here, have him do it in the studio on our show?
That's fine, too.
And we can videotape it for him, and we can do it live on the air.
Will you guys all sign affidavits for me?
Hell yeah.
Of course. Right. We'd be happy to.
Kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
There you go.
We can finally have someone actually break some sort of eating record on our show for a change. It'd be refreshing.
And Evan, you'd be good to trust us because we're so good at making sure that everything is followed the way it's supposed to be for these records.
Yeah, we're good at that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Evan. Thank you. We'll definitely be in touch. You're certainly invited to come do that. Real quick before we run out of time, let's get Ricky on the air from L.A. He's calling about something that happened in sports last night that hasn't happened in about 15 years. Hey, Rick.
Hey, what it do?
What it do? What it do?
A game that Bean would have enjoyed last night. 22 innings.
Wow.
Padres Rockies, 6 hours and 16 minutes.
A 6-hour, 22-inning baseball game.
This is a quintessential example of why baseball blows.
Why baseball rules, you mean?
Well, he would have stayed up till 4 in the morning just to watch the ending.
There apparently were only 1,000 people left at the game by the time it was done.
There's no other sport where the game has yet to be decided. It's in a tie, a dead heat, and they're battling back and forth where everyone just leaves the game.
All right.
Filters in the parking lot.
Gotta go.
Forget about it.
Good luck, everyone. See you later.
Don't care anymore. I don't care who wins anymore. That's what those people said.
But what a payoff for the people who wait. I mean, the payoff for the people who saw the winning run come in the top of the 22nd inning. It makes it all worth it.
I don't think so.
It makes it all worth it, does it?
One game for a thousand people, really?
A couple of years ago, there was an 18-inning game that had a very exciting home run conclusion that I watched the entirety of. It was a Mariners game a couple of years ago, and I still remember. It was a great sporting event. That's so cool when that happens because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, Mike. You're with me, right, Mike?
The Flyers game was into double overtime. No one left the stadium.
Right.
No one stopped watching.
Because there's some hope of something happening.
And something's happening in front of their eyes to keep them entertained, too. Yeah.
But every single pitch has the potential to be the one that ends that game. That's what's fascinating and exciting about baseball is literally it just takes one pitch, one batter, to end the whole thing. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat for every minute of that once it gets into extra innings. Absolutely.
No. You're in the back of your seat until somebody hits that ball. Otherwise, you're just Scott Weiland talking.
is that going to be the new euphemism for things that are slow?
Absolutely.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, and we had a lot of them today. The great Joe Rogan for stopping by. Got out of the isolation chamber long enough to stop in and remind us that UFC 83, Sarah versus St. Pierre 2, is going to be tomorrow night in Montreal, Canada. Call your pay-per-view cable provider to get it. Also, thanks to the beautiful Jenna Jameson for joining us. Her film opens up at the New Art on Santa Monica in Los Angeles. It is called Zombie Strippers. Looks fantastic. Thanks to Scott Weiland for joining us. STP at the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at Ticketmaster. And, of course, listen all weekend long to win tickets to that and a chance to see them. Not a chance. You'll get on the plane to go see them in Las Vegas, too. So a lot of STP this weekend on K-Rock.
Can't tell you who our breakfast is with, but next week we're going to start giving away tickets to our next breakfast.
Ooh.
Can't say who it is. Rhymes with Schmack Schmonson.
Here is it an ass.
Schmack Schmonson is the rhyme.
Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Don't Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is just H's way of saying hi.
Roll another one. Just like the other. This one seems to be about to quit.
Now exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Need another hit.
Hey, that's my turn, right?
Yep.
Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why don't you stick around and enjoy some Red Hot Chili Peppers, also Muse, Jimmy Eat World, and more. Straight ahead on K-Rock.
Roll.
Roll.
Do you want to buy some drugs?
I don't have another cent.
Those people that say that marijuana is a gateway drug, we say, yeah, a gateway to good times.
Just pass it around.
Hi. Are you high?
Hi.
Being no further business before the court, I hereby declare this session adjourned.
Thank you for listening. May God bless our troops.
This is it. Your time is through.
You're boring.
Cut, print, gay.
You're rambling on, no end in sight.
You're boring.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Okay, so you're free to go. But we're cool, right?